This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, as well as a premium Erotica Taboo Podcast, which contains more intense sexual themes. You can access the Taboo Podcast on Spotify or support the other free Erotica podcasts on Patreon, which will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as this gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choice. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. The Devil's Pact Part 3 by Mypename 3000. Part 5. Chapter 1. 10:23 a.m., unknown male, late 20s, heavy set, dark hair, exited Fitzsimmons' house in the company of unknown female, early 20s, red hair. Amorous exchange between Mrs. Fitzsimmons and unknown male and female. Unknown female, 19, pink hair, observed naked with Mrs. Fitzsimmons. See photographs. Excerpt from Doug Allard's Surveillance Logbook, June 7, 2013. Friday, June 7, 2013, Mary Sullivan, South Hill, Washington. There was a gentle knock at the door, and I stirred in Mark's arms.
Hello?
I asked sleepily.
Master, mistress, we have breakfast,
Allison said quietly.
May we come in?
Mark brushed a strand of my auburn hair off my cheek and kissed me. I smiled and purred.
Good morning, hon.
Morning, Mayor.
He hugged me and couldn't seem to resist kissing me a second time.
Last night was amazing. It was amazing.
I cooed and kissed him back. Fuck breakfast, I wanted to have another round with Mark. Everything had almost ended last night. Mark told me the truth. He had sold his soul to the devil and received the power to control people with his words. I had been one of those people, forced to perform depraved acts I never imagined I would ever do. Or enjoy. When Mark set me free last night and told me the truth, I had been hurt and angry. But I loved him. I fell in love with him before he dominated me. And I had enjoyed the things we did, the women we molested. It was exciting. So I came back to him with one condition: I had to make my own pact with the devil. Then we'd be equals. My kiss deepened, then he broke away, smiling apologetically.
Sorry, I gotta pee real bad.
Oh?
I sighed, letting him go. He sprang from the bed and I caught a glimpse of his naked ass rushing across the room and disappearing into the bathroom. There was another soft rap at the door.
Master, mistress, may we come in?
Allison asked a second time.
We have breakfast.
I rubbed sleep from my eyes and sat up in the bed.
Yeah, come in.
Allison and Desiree walked into the room carrying silver trays. They were our sex slaves. I felt a little guilty that I was enjoying their enslavement, but my pussy grew damp just thinking about using their hot bodies for my pleasure. Each tray had a glass of orange juice and plates with French toast, poached eggs and strips of bacon. Both girls were naked, like the good little sluts that they were. Allison had the lithe and nubile body of an 18-year-old, and I enjoyed ogling her pierced nipples as they swayed on her round breasts. Desiree's nut-brown breasts were even larger, and swayed even more, and I licked my lips. Mark had definitely awakened my true passions. Desiree set her tray next to me on the nightstand while Allison walked around the bed, and set Mark's tray on the other nightstand. A toilet flushed in the bathroom, followed by the sink running. And then Mark walked out, a boyish grin on his face as he drank in the sight of our naked sluts, his cock rising hard from his dark brown bush.
Oh, mistress, you stayed,
Allison said, flinging her arms about me.
I'm so happy.
I hugged her back and kissed her gently, her lithe body rubbing against me, and her kiss became quite passionate. I tasted something on her lips.
Pussy.
An image of Allison between Desiree's brown thighs flashed through my mind. My pussy was on fire, and I thrust my tongue into my slut's mouth, spreading my legs and rubbing my pussy against her silky thigh. Mark, chewing on a slice of bacon, motioned to Desiree. The Hispanic slut obeyed, slitting her voluptuous body against my boyfriend, her large tits spilling across his chest.
Isn't she beautiful?
Mark whispered to Desiree, how sweet.
She's getting Randy?
I was.
So Randy?
My hand slid down Allison's hip to grab her ass, while Allison nuzzled at my neck. The slut shifted her hips, then her pussy was kissing mine, and I humped my hips as pleasure burst through me. I pulled on Allison's hips, pressing her hot cunt into mine.
I love watching girls trib.
Mark groaned.
Climb on my dick.
Yes, me Ray,
Desiree husked. I wasn't sure what me Ray meant, but she sure sounded sexy when she said it. I turned my head, watching as Desiree straddled my boyfriend's waist, her large breasts swinging heavily in his face. Mark sucked hard on a fat nipple and Desiree cooed. Her hands grasped his cock, guiding it to her wet pussy.
Oh fuck,
Mark groaned.
That feels wonderful.
Thank you, me Ray,
Desiree purred, sliding slowly up and down on his cock, moaning with her sultry voice.
How does the slut feel?
I asked.
Like silk wrapped around my cock.
Mark groaned.
How's yours? Her pussy is driving mine wild.
Trip me harder, Allison.
Yes, mistress.
She purred, sucking on my ear. Her hips ground harder,
her clit sliding through my labia.
I'll make you come so hard. You're so big.
Desiree moaned.
Mi hombre hermoso.
Desiree arched her back and fucked Mark harder. Her tits bounced deliciously, so heavy. I wanted to bury my face in them. My hands roamed Allison's firm ass and supple back as the slut ground her cunt into mine.
Ride my stallion and make him come.
I gasped.
Yes, mi reina.
She rocked her hips on his cock faster and faster, moaning lustfully. Mark grasped a full breast and pinched her nipple. I couldn't take my eyes off her heavy face as Allison's tribbing brought me closer and closer to exploding. Her clit nudged my button, and fireworks detonated inside me.
Oh, fuck.
I moaned, writhing beneath my slut.
Oh, fuck, I'm coming.
I closed my eyes, enjoying the delicious feeling of Allison's body. The slut humped me faster and faster, her lips and eyes squeezed shut. I groped her delicious ass, enjoying the feel of her muscles rippling beneath my fingers as she neared her orgasm.
Oh, mistress.
She gasped.
Oh, yes. Come, my little whore.
I whispered.
Yes, mistress.
Her body shook atop me, and her warm cream flooded against my pussy. This was intoxicating. How could I ever give this up? I know I'm a hypocrite for being angry at Mark for enslaving me, and yet I can't help how much it excites me to dominate Allison and Desiree. I wanted to keep that excitement. I wanted to play with all the women Mark controls. And maybe a few men. I knew Mark didn't want me fucking other men, but if this was going to work, we couldn't stop each other from taking our pleasures where we found it. We had to be completely open, not fearing the lovers either of us take. I pushed Allison off me and rolled over, snuggling against Mark. He glanced at me and smiled as I kissed his neck and played with his chest hair. Allison slipped behind Desiree, pressing against her back and kissing her shoulder. Desiree smiled as Allison humped her cunt into her plump ass.
Fuck, that's hot.
Mark moaned as Allison wrapped her hands around Desiree, cupping a heavy breast with one and sliding the other down to play with the Hispanic slut's clit.
Are you getting close to coming?
I whispered.
Are you going to come in that dirty horse snatch?
I licked his ear, and my hand trailed down his chest and stomach to his curly pubes.
Yo estoy querers.
Desiree moaned in Spanish, bucking atop Mark.
Oh shit.
Mark groaned.
Her cunt's throbbing about my dick.
Come in the slut. I hissed. I love this. I am so glad I stayed.
Yes.
He grunted, his entire body tensing against me. Then he relaxed, panting. Desiree rolled off, cum staining her pussy.
Did you have a good cum?
I asked him.
Yes.
He murmured and kissed me. Desiree moaned as Allison buried her face into her cunt, eating Mark's cum out of her pussy like a good slut. I smacked Desiree's ass.
You sluts take that out of here.
Yes, mistress.
Allison said, face sticky with cum and juices, and she pulled Desiree out of the room. We lazily fed each other cold bacon and French toast, spilling syrup on each other, and then licking the syrup up. I discovered how sexy it was to lick syrup off Mark's chest. And when he licked some off my tits and nipple, that was even sexier. And then we kissed, lips sticky with sweet syrup, and bellies full of Desiree's delicious breakfast. We cuddled, Mark stroked my hair and warmth spread through my body. I was happy. I wanted us to stay like this forever. Sadly, my bladder had other ideas. Mark Glasner. After making love to Mary in the shower, we dressed in the clothes that Allison or Desiree had laid out. Mary pulled on a pair of lacy red panties and a white corset dress with a short skirt. The dress and panties must have been some of the clothes she bought at Goth Topic while I was behind the register. Dick deep in Lillian's cunt, she was a wild slut. Maybe I should have kept her. Mary looked hot and trashy in the dress. Finally, she placed the heart-shaped locket I gave to her around her neck, the locket nestling in her cleavage. It wasn't the only bit of jewelry I acquired for her. An engagement ring was in my jeans pocket. Mary walked out the sliding glass doors and sat on a love seat on the balcony. I joined her. She snuggled up against me and we stared at the white-capped peak of Mount Rainier. The mountain was as beautiful as always, rising white and blue and gray out of the Cascades Mountains, dwarfing everything about it. A small dome of clouds hovered above the peak. After a moment's silence, Mary asked,
"How do I summon the devil?"
"Well, you'll need a box,"
I answered.
"And a sexy photo of you."
"It has to be sexy?"
Mary asked, surprised.
"Any picture of you would be sexy,"
I told her, rubbing her thigh.
"Especially in this dress."
I leered down her bodice. Mary shifted, thrusting out her tits. A pleased smile graced her lips.
"So that's it, I need a sexy photo and a box?" "Well, there's the yarrow, and the what's yarrow?" "It's a small, white flower. We can pick one up at Lawn and Care or Home Build. And then we'll need grave dirt."
Mary arched an eyebrow at that.
"And the bone of a black cat."
Mary blinked in surprise.
"A bone? You mean you killed a kitty?"
Mary asked, plaintively. And then she punched my arm. I grinned.
"No. I bought the bones at an occult shop. Don't ask me where they got them." "So we need to go buy them?" "No, they came 3 for $5. So I have 2 spares back at my apartment." She breathed in deeply, clearly relieved she didn't have to kill a cat.
"Okay, so I guess we need to go shopping for the arrow.
We found our sluts cleaning the house, still naked."
"Sluts," I announced.
"Yes, master," purred Allison, smiling at me and turning off the vacuum cleaner. Desiree stopped dusting, turning around and purred.
Mireille.
She was so sexy. This had been her house before I kicked her husband out and claimed his trophy wife.
Brandon didn't deserve this woman. She was far too beautiful for the short, fat, balding millionaire. Go out shopping and buy some really slutty clothes to wear outside the house. And for inside the house, the skimpiest, sexiest maid outfits you can find. Allison gave a wicked laugh and pinched Desiree's ass. I know just the place, cutie. Take Desiree's car and use her husband's credit cards to pay. Desiree laughed. I do love spending his money. It's all he ever was good for. You never loved him? Mary asked, sounding sad. You were just a gold digger. Mirena, I'm gay. Desiree answered, then she gave me a smoky glance. Well, maybe I'm bi now. I do love your cock, Mirai. Mark has that effect on people. Mary laughed. Also buy a few dildos and strap-ons. I kinda want to try them out. An image of Mary wearing a strap-on fucking Allison or Desiree flashed in my mind, her perky breasts jiggling as she pumped away. I grinned. Mary saw my smile and returned a wicked one, licking her lips. And pick up these art supplies, Mary added, handing over a list. Mary was an artist, attending DeVry University to get a degree in graphic design. We'll be home very late, I told them. After midnight, so cook your own dinner and don't wait up. I'm sure we'll find a way to amuse ourselves. Allison giggled and pinched Desiree's ass. She's quite insatiable. I could barely keep up with her last night. But I'm willing to try. You better, Desiree purred. Because we're going to have dildos tonight. Allison giggled excitedly. Yes, we will. I bet you'll be so pretty as you moan beneath me. Not unless I bend you over the table and bugger that cute ass of yours. Promise? Allison smiled. Yes. Laughing, I hugged Allison and slipped a small piece of paper with some special instructions. I had big plans for tomorrow. I touched Allison's lips when she opened them, and she grinned at me and nodded. Have fun, Masters. She smiled. I'm with Mark. Mary laughed. I'm sure we'll get into lost of depraved fun. Allison giggled. I grabbed my keys, my wallet and my phone, and Mary grabbed her purse. We left the house and climbed into my silver Mustang. Well, it had belonged to this asshole, but I made him trade his new Mustang for my piece of shit car yesterday. The engine roared to life and I sped out of the neighborhood. Doug Allard. There was a strange, silver Mustang and a red Volkswagen Eos parked in Brandon's driveway when I arrived to surveil his wife. Brandon thought she was cheating on him, so I've been following her around for a week. So far, nothing, but today was something different. Maybe he had guests staying. I pulled out my camera, attached a zoom lens, and snapped several pics of the cars and their temporary license plates taped in the rear windows. Both were new vehicles and only had dealer plates on, but I noted the temp plate numbers down in my logbook. I took a sip of the terrible, convenience store coffee and watched. And watched. And watched. I had the radio on, listening to some news talk to take some of the tedium out of it. Stakeouts were always boring, but this one was paying very well. So what was a little boredom towards a new roof on the house, that's how my wife planned on spending the money. The front door opened. Two people, Brandon's house guests I figured, stepped out. Then I smiled, snapping photos with my camera. Desiree stood in the doorway naked, along with another female with pink hair, and she kissed the strange man white, a little heavy set, dark hair, late 20s quite passionately on the mouth. Then she kissed the woman white, dark red hair, early 20s, slim build just as passionately. I guess she was having an affair. And a kinky one at that. The man and woman walked to the Mustang, and he sped off, gunning the engine down the street and taking the curve with a tire squealing turn. I pulled my laptop out, booted it up, and used my smartphone as a Wi-Fi hotspot and was on the internet. A few minuets answering questions at the DOL's website, and paying a $13 fee, gave me access to the car's title. The registered owner of the Mustang was listed as Anthony DiNapoli. For another $13, I accessed Mr. DiNapoli's driving abstract, all a matter of public record, and whistled. His licenses listed him as 51. So who the hell was driving his Mustang? A son? I ran the plates on the Eos and came up with a Mary Sullivan, whose driving license matched the young woman I saw get into the Mustang. I wrote her name down in my logbook. I was about to do some digging on Facebook and Google, when the garage door opened and Desiree's white BMW backed out. I quickly closed my laptop and slipped it back into my satchel, started my car, and followed Desiree accompanied by the unknown, pink-haired woman out of the neighborhood. My phone rang. Hey, honey, I said to my wife. I know how bored you must be, so I thought I'd help relieve it. I chuckled. It's actually getting interesting. Really? Tina asked eagerly. So I told her what I saw. Oh, that's so sordid. She giggled. Did she host an orgy or something? No idea. But it looks like this case is going to be wrapping up soon. I have all the photos I need to prove her infidelity. Always sad. Tina sighed. Yeah, I answered. Well, that's interesting. What is? Well, Desiree and the pink-haired woman are heading into a sex shop. Wow, it's just getting kinkier. Listen, I need to call the client and do some research. Sure. Love you, Doug. Love you back. I called Brandon. His phone rang a few times, then he picked up. Hello? He sounded tired, not his usual, forceful self. It's Doug. I have some bad news. What? There was a few people staying at your house. I answered. And I saw your wife kiss both a man and a woman, and she's with another woman right now in a sex shop. I know about it. Brandon answered, sounding stiff. I blinked, floundering as I tried to gather my thoughts.
Oh, well, what's going on? Did you guys? I can't talk about it. He barked.
I what?
I cannot talk about it. He grated. What the fuck was going on? Blackmail? Well, what do you want me to do? I'm following Desiree right now. I have a few leads on the people she's with.
Silence.
Brandon? I heard something muttered that might have been. He never said anything. I couldn't make out the last part. I had a bad feeling about this.
Follow.
Find out what you can.
I?
Yes. Just watch and follow. Any details you can give me? I cannot talk about it. He screamed.
Fine.
I muttered, wincing and holding the phone from my ear. There's something really off about this, Brandon. I think I'm going to need triple my fee.
Done.
Advanced. I'll wire it to you right now. There was a pause, and another muttered. Never said anything about Doug. He hung up. What the fuck was I involved in? I grabbed my laptop and started Googling Mary Sullivan. I needed some answers. Sister Theodora Miriam, Los Angeles, California. Keep the change. I smiled at the cabbie. He muttered something in Spanish, taking the bill from my hand. I was dressed in my gray, nun's habit again, the morning heat of LA already baking me beneath the fabric. Sweat beaded on my forehead beneath the white veil. I had changed out of my fun clothes back into my uniform at the airport. I was back from fighting evil, once more a simple nun. No more hot sex and sinning until the next warlock rears his head. Which may not be long. Everyone on the plane was buzzing about the terrorist attack in Washington State. But I knew it was a warlock that had caused the Bybest incident, as the news media had dubbed it. I walked down the brick path past St. Afra, the church I was the caretaker for when not fighting evil, to my tiny, adobe cottage behind the church. A few eucalyptus trees provided shade, and a lovely scent, giving me a respite from the sun. I pulled my keys out of a pocket in my habit and unlocked my door. The first thing I did was turn on the AC. It coughed to life, filling the room with a momentary, swampy smell, before the cool air began to blow. My cottage wasn't big, and the furniture was all secondhand, but it was comfortable. I dropped my suitcase and hit the button on the answering machine. You have one new message. The computerized, feminine voice announced.
First message.
Hey, Theodora, I just saw you on the news. The voice of Sister Lee's echoed metallically as the recording played. I am so thrilled that you safely faced another warlock and freed those women. Call me when you get in. I picked up the cordless phone, plopping down on the couch, and dialed her number in Chicago. The phone rang a few times.
St.
Mary's?
Sister Louise said.
How can I help you today?
It's me, I just got in from Phoenix. I smiled.
Ooh, you have to tell me everything. Her voice became more throaty. Did you hook up with any hot gals?
Sister Louise was gay. When she was on a mission, she was on the prowl for any hot woman she could trip into bed. When she had saved me from Kurt all those years ago, we had spent a month on a California beach as she slowly put me back together after the ordeal. She showed me a lot of ways to please a woman, and I would always remember our time fondly. Just like I remembered my time with my husband before Kurt ruined everything.
Damn warlocks. I told her everything that happened. She became quite throaty and excited when I told her about putting Sally and Raylene under my control, and I began to suspect she had her hand between her thighs. She grew angry when I admitted that I had been captured.
You need to be more careful. She admonished. You're lucky they didn't know what you were.
I've never encountered a warlock that had a partner. I said, feeling defensive. How was I supposed to know that the wife was in on it?
Reconnaissance.
Sister Louise clucked. You assumed she was a thrall. You need to be more prepared before striking.
Yeah.
I sighed. Well, it's done. When he ungagged me, I sprung my trap and gave him quite the hit to the head.
Good.
Moaned Sister Louise. Did you fuck him? Did you make him come in your cunt? Did you stare into his eyes and watch the fear dawn as he lost the fight against his orgasm? The only time Sister Lee seemed to enjoy fucking a guy was when it was a warlock. She got off on dominating them and forcing them to come knowing they would lose all their powers.
I did.
Yes, yes. She gasped, then let out a throaty sigh.
Did you just come?
I did. She purred. I was a bad nun. I couldn't help laughing.
Well, I have a feeling you're going to be real bad, soon.
Yeah, I saw the news reports. This warlock in Washington State is quite brazen. An orgy in the store, and there are some reports that he was having fun at the local mall, too.
Well, it'll be your turn.
I told her. Unless there's another warlock out there. It's really the Archangel's decision. I just go where Gabriel sends me. Someone knocked at my door.
Sister Theodora?
A woman with a thick, Hispanic accent called probably Esmeralda. I have to go. A parishioner is here. God be with you if the ecstasy falls on you.
He will.
Sister Louise answered. And this warlock will learn about consequences when he comes in my pussy. I laughed as I hung up. Sister Louise would teach this warlock the depth of the mistake he made by selling his soul to the adversary. Chapter 2. I should have known when he took my virginity that I was lying with a living god. But it took the miracle to awaken me to that truth. Excerpt from the Journal of High Priestess Daisy Cunningham. Mark Glasner, South Hill, Washington. A lifetime of speeding had prepared me to drive my Mustang recklessly. Mary held on to the oh shit handle. I wasn't sure what the handle above the passenger seat was for, but that's what my friends and I called it.
You held onto it when the driver was taking turns way too fast while yelling, "Oh shit!" In terror as you prayed your friend wouldn't get you killed. Mary punched my arm as I roared out of the housing development onto Shaw Road.
"Jesus, Mark, are you trying to kill us?"
She was mad, so I slowed down to just 15 over the speed limit. I almost missed yesterday when she was under my power, but we couldn't really love each other if she was my slave.
"Better?"
I asked.
"A little,"
she groused. Even angry, she was beautiful. We made good time zipping down 39th Avenue and reached the South Hill Lawn and Care. I parked the car and we made our way through the store reeking of paint, chemicals, and sawdust and into the warm, damp greenhouse attached to the side of the building. The air was filled with the sweet scent of flowers and the acrid scent of fertilizers. I was searching the rows of flowers, looking for the yarrow I had bought here just a few days when Mary nudged me. I looked over at her, and she pointed down the end of the row. There stood two beautiful, 18-year-old identical twins. They were both blonde, one had short hair, and the other a long braid. Short hair wore tight, white shorts that clung to her boyish hips and a pink tank top that exposed the beautiful slope of her perky breasts. The one with braids wore a button-up, blue blouse with ruffled sleeves and a tight, dark blue miniskirt. Both girls had gorgeous, skinny legs. Behind them shopped a man and woman, maybe their parents. The father was a big, blonde man with a fit, athletic build that made him look younger than a man who had two teenage daughters should. And his wife was a stunning, brunette bombshell. She wore a tight, red tank top striped with white chevrons, her breasts filling the shirt out nicely, and a pair of skinny jeans that hug her ample curves like a second skin.
"What do you think?"
I asked Mary.
"MHH, I'll take the wife and you can have the daughters. I want to suck on those titties. They are as big as Desiree's. Naughty filly."
I laughed, putting my arm around my girlfriend. Her hand reached down and patted my growing erection.
"Horny stallion."
I led Mary down the aisle.
"Hi,"
I greeted, holding out my hand. The father took it, shaking with a firm grip.
"I'm Mark, and this is Mary."
"Oh, I'm Kathy Cunningham,"
the wife said.
"This is my husband, Jim."
Jim grunted. It may have been a greeting.
"Don't mind him, he's shy around strangers. And these are our daughters, Daisy and Rose,"
Kathy continued. The one with short hair turned out to be Daisy and with braids was Rose. "It's been so much easier to tell them since they've hit puberty," Kathy joked. "When they were little, they just had to wear the same clothes. And now they're off to college."
The two girls blushed and glanced furiously at their mother.
"Mom!"
they exclaimed in embarrassed exasperation.
"You have two beautiful daughters,"
I complimented.
"And Mary and I would love to see their titties."
The girls blushed even more red.
"Come on, girls,"
their mother urged.
"Show them your titties."
Jim glanced in shock at his wife but did not object. I pulled out my phone, snapping some lovely pics as Daisy pulled her tank top off and Rose began to unbutton her blouse. Daisy's bra was white with a little pink bow between the cups and she reached behind her back to unclasp it. Daisy's perky, round breasts were exposed while Rose was still struggling with the little buttons on her blouse. Finally, Rose unbuttoned her shirt and her bra turned out to be lacy and purple and clasped in the front. Her tits spilled out just as perkily as her sister's.
"Aren't those some beautiful tits?"
I asked. Mary licked her lips.
"Oh, sweeties, they are beautiful,"
their mother cooed.
"Yeah,"
Jim muttered.
"Th, they're beautiful."
Both girls blushed, pleased and embarrassed, and relaxed, beginning to lose their self-consciousness at being topless in front of their parents and complete strangers. Growing confident, they struck poses, thrusting out their perky tits.
"Holy shit,"
a man gasped behind us. Fuck, I was so excited by the twins I had forgotten to secure the garden area. A lawn and garden employee in a green apron gaped at the topless twins. A name tag declared him to be Victor, garden center manager.
"You, Victor, lock the garden center up. Tell anyone there's a spill that needs to be cleaned up,"
I barked.
"Yes, sir,"
Victor gulped and scurried off to follow my orders. Fuck, I loved my powers.
"Why don't you take off your bottoms?"
Mary suggested.
"Why would we do that?"
Rose asked. Mary frowned and glanced at me.
"Everyone, do what Mary says," I ordered.
"So, bottoms off, girls. Let's see you naked."
"Yeah,"
their father grunted. His cock was tenting his pants as he eyed his half-naked daughters.
"Sure,"
Daisy exclaimed, kicking off her tennis shoes, then bending down to pull off her white socks.
"This is so wild."
Rose smiled as she unzipped her skirt. Daisy wiggled out of her tight shorts. But it was Rose who undressed faster this time, her skirt falling to her feet and then off came her purple panties, exposing a blonde furred muff. Daisy finally peeled out of her shorts and pulled off her white panties. She was shaved bare, her slit tight. Mary slipped behind Kathy and pressed up against her.
"Relax,"
Mary whispered into Kathy's ear and pulled Kathy's sundress up over her body. For a woman that bore twins, she was in amazing shape. Flat stomach, curvy hips and large breasts contained in a blue, strapless bra, and a matching, blue thong covered her pussy. Mary kissed her neck and reached behind the woman to release the clasp of her bra. Kathy's magnificent breasts spilled out. The mother's nipples were the same shade of dark pink as her daughter's.
"Daisy, Rose, have either of you ever been with a girl?"
I asked the twins drinking in their nubile bodies.
"You mean les out?"
Rose asked. Daisy nodded eagerly.
"We love to les out. We do it with all our girlfriends."
"What?"
gasped Kathy as Mary's hands slid into her panties.
"I thought you girls hadn't had sex yet."
Daisy rolled her eyes. Lezzing out isn't sex, Mom. It's only sex if a guy sticks his dick in your cunny.
I looked from one twin to the other. You girls ever lezzed out with each other? Both of their faces mirrored disgust.
We're sisters, Rose said. That's disgusting. Tell your daughters you want to see them fuck.
Mary whispered into Kathy's ear, her finger fucking Kathy's cunt underneath her blue thong.
Oh, baby girls, lez out for mama.
Kathy moaned. The girls looked at their father, who rubbed his cock through his jeans.
Oh, girls, you're so beautiful.
Rose looked at her sister, playing with her braid.
Daisy, I have jilled off thinking about you.
She admitted, face reddening. Daisy squealed and threw herself at her sister, kissing her over and over. Between kisses, she exclaimed,
I have flicked my bean thinking about you.
My cock was hard, watching twin sisters make out, their breasts pressed together. Their hands ran up and down their youthful bodies, groping tight asses and perky tits, while their tongues explored each other's mouths. Their thighs parted and each girl shoved a leg against her sister's crotch. Rose's cunt rubbed on Daisy's thigh, and Daisy's cunt on her sister. They moaned, grinding on their sisters as their orgasms built. Mary's dress was off now, and she was sucking on Kathy's round tits, wearing only her red panties. Mary kissed down Kathy's taut stomach and knelt before her. She grabbed Kathy's blue thong and pulled it down, exposing a small patch of brown hair. Kathy gasped and jumped as Mary's tongue buried into her snatch.
Oh, wow.
Kathy moaned.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
See, Mom.
Daisy panted.
Lezzing out is so much fun.
It is.
Kathy moaned. Daisy ass flexed as she rubbed her cunt on her sister's thighs.
Oh, Rosie, I'm gonna come.
The twins bucked against each other, moaning and kissing, as they came together.
Wow, we should have lezzed out together years ago.
Daisy murmured to her sister, who just nodded her head.
Which girl do you want to fuck?
I asked Jim.
I.
Jim trailed off, staring at his nubile daughters.
I nodded.
I get it. How can you choose?
You love both your daughters.
So, I'll pop Daisy's cherry and you'll pop Rose's.
I held out my hand and Daisy grasped it delicately and I led her a few feet away. She kissed me, her mouth hot and her tongue writhed about my tongue.
Jim swallowed. Okay.
He muttered. He unzipped his pants and pulled out a large cock and stumbled towards his daughter.
Oh, Daddy, is that for me?
Rose asked, staring hungrily at his dick. Daisy rubbed my cock through my jeans. With a snap, she deftly opened my pants and pulled out my dick, stroking it softly. I ran my hand up from her hip, across her lean side and grasped a perky, full tit. Daisy moaned throatily into my lips as I fondled her breast and played with a hard nipple. God, I had to be in this hot, young slut. I broke the kiss and turned her around and shoved her against the table. Her slim ass wiggled before me and I rubbed my cock across her tight, wet slit.
Please!
Daisy begged.
Stick it in! I'm so wet!
I found her tight opening and rubbed my dick against her labia, brushing her hymen. I found her opening, pressing forward, her hymen blocking my progress. I gripped her hips and shoved in hard and slow. The hymen held for a second and then ripped, and my cock was buried into her tight, deflowered cunt.
Oh, fuck!
Daisy cried in pain and pleasure.
Oh, shit! So thick!
I pulled my cock back, pink staining my shaft, and thrust in slowly. Daisy gave another grunt of pain. I reached around and played with her nipples and slowly her cries of pain transformed into pleasure, her hips bucking beneath me.
I'm going to ride you, Daddy!
Cried out Rose. Jim was lying on the floor. Rose was lying on top of him, making out with her father while she rubbed his cock on her pussy. Then she rose up, grasped her daddy's shaft, and aimed it for her pussy. She slowly lowered herself on the dick, pausing as her hymen resisted, and then her cherry was popped. With a groan of pain, she sank down the shaft. Rose rested for a minute, panting as she grew used to her dad's large cock and her tight pussy. Then she raised up and slid back down, slowly riding her father.
Oh, Rosie!
Jim moaned.
Oh God, you're tight, Rose! Fuck, this is amazing! Daddy, Daddy!
Rose panted, riding him faster.
I love you, Daddy! Fuck those little whores!
Kathy moaned.
Fuck my baby girls. Fuck their naughty pussies. Oh crap. I'm there. God, I'm there.
She bucked on Mary's face as she came. Mary stood up, slid off her red panties, and then pulled Kathy down to the floor where they slipped into a 69. Daisy was moaning wordlessly as I fucked her harder and harder. Her cunt rippled on my cock as she came. I kept fucking her, pulling on her nipple as my pink-stained cock plunging into her pussy over and over. She was bucking wildly back into me as a second orgasm rolled through her. The velvety tightness of her cunt milking my cock was too much, and I came hard into her womb. Breathing heavily, I rested in her cunt and watched the other two couples. Mary and Kathy were writhing on the other's faces, moaning and licking and finger-fucking. Rose was bouncing hard and fast on her dad, perky tits swaying and jiggling.
Oh, Daddy!
Moaned Rose.
Pour your spunk in my pussy!
Rose writhed as she came and her father groaned. Then she collapsed on her dad's chest, kissing him as his cock, covered in pink froth, popped out of her pussy and white semen slowly trickled out of her tight slit. The four of us now watched Mary and Kathy eating pussy. Mary was on top and her ass writhed on Kathy's face. Kathy was gripping her plump butt, pulling her down into her face. Mary had two fingers in Kathy's cunt pumping away.
Oh my God!
Kathy shrieked, and bucked beneath her. Kathy was fucking her face into Mary's vulva and Mary spasmed as she climaxed on Kathy's face.
Mary rolled off Kathy, who stood up unsteadily. She looked at Daisy and then rose and smiled.
My little girls are women now,
she said in wonder. She opened her arms. Come here, girls. Rose stood up and stumbled to her mother. I pulled out of Daisy with a sucking pop and she walked gingerly to her mother. Kathy embraced both daughters, pulling them to her. She kissed Daisy and then Rose on the lips. Kathy was pushed back into the wall and each little minx wrapped their legs about one of Kathy's and rubbed their cum-stained pussies on their mother's thighs.
Oh, les out with mama,
Kathy moaned, cradling her daughters. Remember when we did this with Sally last week? Rose asked her sister. Daisy gave a wicked giggle.
Yeah. I'm still not sure how we all fit in that bathroom stall. But it was a lot more fun than English.
You were this close to me, Rose whispered. And I was too scared to do this. She reached out and placed her hand on her sister's ass, squeezing gently, and leaned in to kiss her. Daisy moved her own hand onto her sister's ass. The sisters broke their kiss. A string of saliva momentarily connected their lips and then, grinning, they hefted their mother's large tits and sucked a nipple into their mouths.
Oh, my baby girls,
moaned Kathy, hugging her daughters as they writhed on her thighs.
I missed you nursing at my breasts so much.
My cock hardened, and I wanted to stick it into someone. Like my naughty filly. Mary Sullivan. Watching the mother and her two daughters, les out, was making my pussy drip. I pressed my thighs together, aching for a cock. I glanced at my boyfriend, and his cock was jutting hard and throbbing, glistening with one of the twins' cream. Then I noticed Jim and his cock, also hard, and covered in his daughter's cum. If our relationship was going to work, then Mark and I could have no jealousy. Mark was never going to stop fucking whatever woman he wanted, and he clearly was fine with me fucking any lady I wished. But yesterday, he had ordered me never to find another man attractive. Only he freed me. I could do what I wanted. Fuck whom I wanted. And Jim was quite attractive. Mark's eyes fell on me, his blue eyes widening in surprise as I licked my lips at Jim. I could see the confusion, and then the realization set in. I am free to do as I pleased, and he had to live with that. I walked to Jim. Mark opened his mouth to protest. I shot him a warning glance. Mark claimed we were equals now, and it was time for him to prove it. He closed his mouth, fear crossing his face, but he didn't object.
On your back, Jim, I purred. I want to feel that cock buried in my pussy.
Jim laid back on the concrete without hesitating, his cock rising up, the head angry purple. I couldn't wait to feel it inside my wet pussy. I straddled his waist, grasping the shaft and guiding it to the lips of my pussy. I groaned, rubbing it around my vulva, questing for my opening. I found it, and I sank my pussy down his shaft. So wonderful. I gasped and moaned wantonly as the nerves in my pussy came alive with pleasure. I rose up and came back down, wiggling my hips in enjoyment. I looked at Mark. There was fear in his eyes. He's afraid I'll like Jim's cock more than his. I smiled at him, putting all my love I could into it. He relaxed. I reached behind myself and spread my ass cheeks.
Why don't you stick that big dick up my ass?
I purred at him.
Sure, Mare.
He smiled.
You have a cute ass. Your little asshole's winking at me.
He knelt behind me, his cock nudging my butt, sliding into my crack and finding my asshole. I groaned as he pushed into my tight hole, and I felt so full of cock. It was wonderful. Pleasure rippled through me, from my ass and pussy, and I moaned like a wanton whore as he penetrated deeper and deeper into me as one hand wrapped around me to grasp my right breast.
Thank you,
I whispered, turning to look over my shoulder and kissed him.
I love you. I love you too, Mare.
He whispered and fucked my ass. I rocked my hips, savoring the feel of Jim's cock fucking my pussy and Mark's fucking my ass. It took us a few tries to find a rhythm that worked, but Mark was sliding in and out of my ass as I rode Jim's cock, matching my rhythm. It was exciting to feel two cocks stirring me up, and Mark seemed to enjoy it, too.
Dirty filly,
he grunted.
Fucking two men. You're a dirty whore. You're whore.
I groaned. He pinched my nipple. I tightened about both their cocks.
My whore,
he agreed.
My filthy, naughty, wonderful whore.
The pleasure was so amazing, driving me wild with passion, and reducing me to screaming.
Fuck my ass. Fuck my pussy.
Over and over. This was so hot, and I was so glad I could share this with my love.
Oh God, Mare. Gonna come. It's too much. Me too,
I gasped as my orgasm neared.
Fuck me studs.
Mark pounded my ass hard, driving me down onto Jim's cock. My climax erupted through me, my ass and pussy clenching upon the two cocks impaling me. Mark drove into me, squeezing my tit, and groaning into my ear as his load shot deep into my ass. He stumbled back, his wonderful cock popping out of my ass, his cum trickling out of my hole, so nasty. Jim still hadn't come. He had come once already and didn't have Mark's stamina. I began to really ride his cock hard, smiling at Mark as my breasts bounced up and down.
So beautiful,
he groaned, leaning down to kiss me on the lips. Then he broke the kiss and looked at the Cunningham women. Both daughters were writhing wildly on her thighs. All three taking turns kissing and sucking nipples and squeezing asses. Rose was coming on her mother's thigh, shuddering in pleasure. She kissed her mother and then slowly continued writhing against Kathy's thigh.
Time to have Rose,
Mark smiled.
Go get her, stallion.
I laughed, writhing my hips on Jim's cock. I watched my boyfriend walk behind Rose, his cock jutting out, and then he pressed it between her ass cheeks, driving it deep into her bowels. The girl gasped and groaned in pain at the unexpected intrusion.
Holy shit! Daisy gasped. That's so hot. I'm coming!
She shook and flooded her mother's thighs with girl cum. Mark fucked Rose's ass hard, shoving her into her mother.
Fuck her ass!
Daisy moaned and slapped Mark's butt.
Fuck her hard, stud!
Another orgasm neared. That was so hot. I ground my clit into Jim's groin on the downstroke, and let out a low, throaty moan. Jim grunted, then he flooded my pussy with his cum. So wonderful and hot, and now I was so full of cum. My orgasm exploded through me. I gasped and shuddered, my breasts heaving as passion tore through me. I loved it. Mark and I would experience so much fun and passion together, taking our pleasure wherever we desired, and sharing it with each other. A new kind of love, unique to us. I rolled off Jim, lying on the cold concrete floor, spreading my legs, showing off my dirty cunt to Mark.
Daisy, go suck out the cum out of Mary's ass and pussy.
Mark ordered, slapping her on the butt. Daisy, smiling, buried her face between my legs, spread my ass cheeks, and her little mouth sucked my asshole, drinking Mark's cum right out my dirty butthole.
Oh, fuck.
I groaned.
You nasty whore.
I enjoyed Daisy's tongue, watching Kathy writhe on Rose's thigh as Mark fucked her daughter ass hard. Mother and daughter kissed passionately. Kathy's hand reached around, fondling Mark's balls. So hot. I glanced down at Daisy, her tongue working up to my pussy, cleaning me up like a good slut. Her own pussy was messy with Mark's cum, and I wanted to taste it straight out of her formerly virgin twat.
69 with me. I ordered. Absolutely.
She beamed, face sticky with my pussy juices and the two men's cum. She flipped around, her messy pussy descending, and I eagerly buried my face into her tart pussy, slurping as much of Mark's cum and her nectar into my mouth that I could. We cleaned each other's pussies, savoring cum and cunt. Beside us, Jim watched his daughter devour the cream pie he made in my cunt.
Fucking sluts.
He groaned.
My daughter's such a whore.
The entire garden section was full of panting and moaning as we all built to our orgasms. Rose and Kathy gasped and squealed their climaxes as Mark's groin slapped into Rose's ass. Then Mark grunted, and I pictured his cock shooting cum deep into the daughter's ass. My own orgasm neared, stirred by this wonderful creature, and then I gasped and shouted, creaming her face as she creamed my.
That was a hell of a family bonding moment,
gushed Rose as Daisy climbed off me. Mark pulled his cock out of her ass, cum running between her cheeks, dripping onto the floor. Jim stood up, hugging both his daughters to him. Then Kathy threw her arms around her family, and the four of them traded kisses.
Need some help?
Mark asked, holding out his hand. I took it, and he helped me up.
Aren't they beautiful together?
I asked him, slipping my arm around his waist.
Yeah. You gave them a new form of love they can share.
I guess I did. He admitted, sounding a little stunned at what we did.
I can't wait to be fucked by you, Daddy.
Daisy exclaimed.
Tonight, instead of family movie night, we should have family orgy night.
Sure.
Jim smiled.
Absolutely.
Kathy nodded.
Now, where are my panties?
I pulled away and found my own panties on the ground, frowning at the potting soil staining my red panties black.
Guess you'll have to go commando.
Mark grinned. I laughed.
I guess so.
I picked up my dress. Its skirt was so short, I'd have to be careful or everyone would get an eyeful of my her ass and cunt. Based on the twinkle in Mark's eyes, he found that possibility quite exciting. And it was. I kinda wanted to show off to strangers. It was amazing how fast I had changed. Mark had uncorked all my perverted fantasies I had bottled up over the years, and there was no stopping my desires back up.
Thank you for trusting me.
I told Mark with a smile. He smiled back.
I realized that if you let me fuck other women, I need to let you fuck other men.
What a great guy he was. I rewarded him with a kiss. Chapter 3. Operator, you've reached Crime Stoppers tip line. How can I help you?
David Glasner, yeah?
I know who released the gas at the Bybest.
Oh, okay.
What's your name, sir?
DG David.
David Glasner. And the guy you're looking for is my asshole son Mark.
Oh, are you sure, sir?
DG, that's him on the news. My fucking son.
Pause.
So, there's a reward? Transcript from Crime Stoppers tip line, June 7th, 2013. Doug Allard. Allison and Desiree were still in the sex shop after 20 minutes, giving me plenty of time to dig into Mary Sullivan. I searched Facebook and, after going through 13 different Mary Sullivans, I found her profile, a picture of the redhead smiling, her arm wrapped around a weaselly faced, black-haired man, his right ear pierced, and an ugly soul patch perched on his chin. Not the man I had seen her with today. I read through her profile. The man in the photo was Mike Stone, her boyfriend. She had a lot of friends, mostly from high school, two sisters named Shannon and Missy. She attended DeVry University, pursuing a degree in graphic design, and listed her employer as Starbucks Coffee. Well, there were one of those on practically every corner. I looked up Starbucks' website, found a list of all their stores in the area, and started dialing.
Starbucks, this is Cynthia, how may I help you?
A bored woman answered on the ninth store I called.
Hi, yes, is the manager in?
Speaking.
Right, I'm the human resource director at Signs and Cards, and a Mary Sullivan gave us an application to be a graphic artist, and I'm just following up. It says she worked at your Starbucks.
Yeah, Cynthia answered, her voice coming alive.
She quit yesterday. And good for her.
It's a terrible job here, but she was a great worker.
That's good to know, I said, trying to keep my excitement out of my voice. Is there any friends, family, or boyfriends I should talk to? I want to get the complete picture about Mary, to make sure she's the right fit at our company. I'm not sure I should give that out.
Cynthia hedged.
Okay, okay. And her boyfriend is Mike Stone, right?
Oh no, they broke up yesterday.
She's dating Mark now.
A certain, sultry purr entered her voice when she said Mark's name.
Mark? Was this the mysterious man?
Yeah, Mark.
He came in yesterday and just swept her off her feet.
Cynthia husked. The woman sounded like she was having sex, her voice low and throaty.
He sounds like quite the guy.
Oh, he is.
He's so strong and masterful. He introduced me to my girlfriend.
Oh, so you've known him long?
No.
We met yesterday. But he made me realize just how much I love Vivian.
Your girlfriend?
Yeah.
She sighed.
She's the best. I'm so happy now.
And Mark introduced you yesterday?
Uh-huh.
He walked into our store and helped us out with the broken hot water.
So he's a plumber?
No, no.
He's just Mark.
Who the fuck was this guy?
Do you know his last name?
Nope, just Mark.
But he's amazing.
There was a pause.
I have a customer.
Gotta go.
Hope you hire Mary. She's the best.
She hung up and I frowned in confusion.
Who was this guy?
I tried to do a search for Mark, but there were just too many people named that. None of Mary's many friends had that name, and her ex-boyfriend, Mike, only knew one person on Facebook Mary. Though it did show his job listed as mechanic at Chuck's Automotive Repair.
Shouldn't be hard to find that.
I muttered. A car started. I glanced up.
Fuck.
Desiree was in her car backing out of the parking space, Allison sitting next to her. I would have to dig into Mike later.
Mark Glasner. We found the Yarrow after getting dressed. It was in the next aisle over from where we fucked the Cunningham family, and walked out of the store without paying.
I know a great shoe store in the mall.
Mary smiled as we walked out to the car.
Shoes?
I asked.
I need a box.
She answered, rolling her eyes.
What better than a shoe box?
That made sense.
Yeah, okay.
My Mustang started with a throaty purr. I loved the sound of it. I revved the engine, and Mary laughed, shaking her head.
What?
Boys and their toys. I grinned, then held the brake and gunned the gas, peeling the tires. She rolled her eyes, that beautiful smile plastered on her face. I would do anything to see that smile. I stopped destroying the tires and sped out of the parking lot, taking a right on 37th Avenue. Two blocks later, we crossed Meridian and entered the South Hill Mall's parking lot. I parked, and we climbed out. I pressed the remote and enjoyed the lights flashing and the horn honking as I locked and set the alarm. That never would get old. I proffered my arm, and Mary took it, and we walked into the mall. Mary led us to the lady's slipper.
Oh my god, these are so cute!
She giggled, holding up a pair of red heels.
Can I help you?
A petite, brown-haired woman, cut short in a bob, asked. Her nose was dainty and covered in freckles.
I think she's cute.
I grinned at Mary. Mary rolled her eyes.
Yes, do you have these in a size 6?
Yeah, I'll be right back. Let her get my shoes before you start anything. Mary smiled, patting the growing bulge in my pants. Then a pair of white-heeled boots caught her eye.
Oh, these are darling!
The clerk came back with a box. Mary sat down on a bench, holding her foot out.
Oh, what a cute shoe!
The woman cooed as she pulled off Mary's tennis shoe.
Thanks. I got them on sale at Target.
Mary answered, spreading her legs. The clerk's eyes widened, and she looked down at the floor.
Another one? What was that?
I asked. I said another one. She answered, then flushed, looking confused why she answered me.
Another what?
Another customer not wearing panties. Her cheeks were crimson. There was this pink-haired girl yesterday and...
I laughed, and Mary giggled.
Yeah, that sounds like Allison.
I grinned, picturing my slut in here yesterday, flashing this cutie.
Did you like looking at my pussy? Mary asked.
No.
The clerk answered. I'm not into women, you know.
I think you are.
Mary said.
What do you think, Mark?
I think you love pussy, and you want to stick your face under her skirt and lick her until she creams your pretty mouth.
With a groan, her head dived under Mary's skirt.
My girlfriend's green eyes went wide, and then she smiled and sighed.
That's it.
Take care of my pussy.
You love it.
What in the heck? Gasped a stout woman browsing shoes at the end of the aisle.
Just keep shopping.
I told her, dropping to my knees. Nothing out of the ordinary to see here. Just going to give this girl a nice fucking. She wants it so bad, don't you?
Yes.
The sales girl groaned, then went back to vigorously, and loudly, eating Mary out. I pulled down her khaki pants and plain, white panties. Her ass was round and pink, and I gave it a slap. She cooed, muffled by Mary's pussy, and wiggled her ass. I spread her thighs and rubbed my fingers through the thick mat of brown hair covering her pussy. When you get home, shave your pussy.
I ordered.
Yes, sir.
Fuck her, Mark.
Moaned Mary, licking her lips at me. Drive the little whore's mouth deep into my pussy.
Yes, Mayor.
I grinned and plowed into her tight snatch. The woman gasped and Mary groaned. I gripped her hips and fucked her hard and fast, savoring the wet warmth of her sheath. Mary leaned over, caressing my cheek, gripped my short hair and pulled me closer. Our lips met,
and we shared our love as we shared this woman. Neither of us cared about her, she was just a sex toy, something to add a little spice to our love making. Mary broke the kiss, tossing her auburn hair back.
Oh, fuck. She's working my pussy hard.
That's it.
Play with my clit.
Make me come, whore.
Do it, Mare.
I grunted. I love watching your face when you come. You're so beautiful. She stared at me, mouth parted in a groan. Her body quivered and quaked, and a wonderful, musical sigh escaped her lips as she came on the slut's mouth. Another shudder passed through her, then she leaned back on the bench. She purred, closing her eyes. Lick me gently now.
That's it.
My own balls were tightening, getting ready to flood the little slut's cunt. I gave her ass a slap as I plowed into her.
Here it comes, slut. You're getting a taste of my cum. You should feel honored.
I do. She moaned.
Come in me.
Give it to me.
Knock the little whore up.
Mary giggled. I exploded in her.
Feel that.
I gasped. That's my sperm wiggling through your pussy to knock you up. Aren't you lucky?
Yes, yes, yes.
She gasped, her pussy convulsing about me.
Thank you.
I'm so lucky.
Yes, you are.
I breathed, pulling out of her. Mary and I sat on the bench as the clerk ran around finding Mary's shoes to try on. Her face was smeared with pussy juices, and cum ran down her thighs as she ran around bottomless, her cute, pink ass flashing invitingly.
This is how to shop for shoes.
I laughed.
Horny stallion.
Mary smiled, patting my arm fondly. Mary Sullivan. I used in the empty shoe book from one of the 20 new pairs of shoes Mark had bought me to scoop up the fresh, brown dirt from the top of the grave. It was fresh, the service had just ended, and it felt a little weird to be stealing the dirt.
So, cat bone next?
I asked. The box already contained a photo of me downloaded of Mark's phone and printed at a kiosk at the mall, the Yarrow, and now all it needed was the black cat's bone.
Yeah. That's back at my place.
He shrugged. Well, there's a few personal things I should grab from there.
Yeah.
I probably should swing by my apartment, too. Mike'll be at work, so I can get my art portfolio and other stuff.
I'm curious to see your apartment.
Mark smiled, placing his arm around my shoulders.
I'm more curious to see yours.
I smiled. You won't be after you see it. We drove out of the Woodbine Cemetery that sat halfway down South Hill, and headed back north on 9th Street to get on Highway 512, taking that west to Parkland where we both had lived. Mark tore down the freeway at 90 miles per hour, weaving in and out of traffic like a race car driver, getting my heart beating faster and faster. I'm amazed no cop pulled us over. 10 minutes later, we pulled up at the faded blue Concordia Arms, made of four buildings, each two-story, that formed a square around a grassy yard set with a dirty swimming pool. Mark's side faced a junkyard and there was a steep, dirt embankment we had to scramble up to actually get up to his apartment.
Geez, does your landlord not care about someone getting hurt?
Nope. Mark shrugged, fishing out his keys and unlocking the door. It was a pigsty. I took one look and blanched.
I'll wait out here.
I said.
Yeah.
Mark muttered, looking embarrassed. Guess I really didn't give a shit. Just give me a few minutes.
Yeah.
I muttered, leaning against the wall. I pulled out my phone and saw a text from Cynthia.
GL on the new job.
What new job? I texted back, frowning. I went on Facebook, browsing my newsfeed, looking at all the stupid stuff my friends always posted when I received a text from my older sister Shannon. Are you okay? I blinked, what did that mean? After our mother bailed to run off with that musician, Shannon had to take her role and so she was far more overprotective than an older sister had any right to be.
What are you talking about?
I texted back.
You're on the news.
Connected to some terrorist.
What's going on?
Terrorist?
Just a misunderstanding.
Check this link out. Shannon sent me a link to a Kiro 7 news video. Authorities are looking for information on this man. The female anchor reported, a security photo of Mark appearing on the screen. In connection with yesterday's gas attack on the South Hill by Best. He was later seen in the company of these two women at the local mall. A security camera shot of Allison and I appeared walking with Mark. There's a reward of $10,000 if you have any tips on the identity of the three individuals. Call Crime Stoppers.
Shit.
I cursed.
What?
Mark asked, a cardboard box in one hand full of random stuff.
We're wanted terrorists.
I answered stunned.
What?
That orgy you caused at the By Best. The cops think it was a gas attack. Like a terrorist attack or something. They have security footage of us.
Mark shrugged.
So? What can they do to me? I say one word and they'll let me go.
Well.
I frowned. Mark was right. He could make anyone do what he wanted, and I was about to sell my own soul. I could get the same power. My stomach felt a little queasy. Did I want that much power? Sure, I wanted some power, and I enjoyed taking advantage of Mark's, but did I actually want the responsibility for myself? And what should I use my three wishes for? Maybe I should figure that out.
Doug Allard.
Chuck's Automotive Care.
A bored woman answered.
Hi, I'm looking for Mike Stone.
I said.
He's not here.
Took a personal day.
Well, it's real important that I speak to him.
Do you have his number?
Well, I ain't supposed to give it out.
What's your name?
Minnie.
She answered.
Well, Minnie, it's real important that I talk to him.
I'm afraid I can't give out personal information.
You understand.
Right, right. I sighed. My name's Doug. Could you pass a message on to him?
Yeah, I guess. She answered. I'm about to get off work and go see him. His girl dumped him yesterday, and he needs some comforting.
I almost laughed. I could hear the desire thicken her voice, and knew just how she planned on comforting Mike.
Yeah, sure. I rattled off my number. It's very important that we speak. He has a chance to make some money.
Sure. I'll tell him. Thanks. I hung up, and went back to watching the Fitzsimmons house. Desiree and the pink-haired woman had headed straight back here after the visiting the sex shop. I watched the house for another hour, wondering if Mike was ever going to return my phone call. Well, if he didn't call soon, I'd do a white pages search for him. My phone rang, Doug Allard. I answered. Hi, you wanted to speak to me? A male voice answered. Something about money.
Yeah.
I'm a PI named Doug and your girlfriend Mary, she's not my girlfriend anymore. Groused Mike.
That's right, baby. Cooed Minnie in the background.
You just forget all about that nasty bitch. Anyway, I need information on her and a guy named Mark.
Fuck.
That's the asshole that stole her from me. Yesterday morning, she called me up and dumped me over the phone while this Mark guy was fucking her.
What type of bitch does that?
Wow, that's pretty messed up. I admitted. I had heard of some terrible breakup stories before, but never one that sadistic. How long had she known Mark?
Fuck if I know.
I thought things were going great. We made love the night before, she seemed happy, and then bam! She stabs me in the chest. The bitch even sent me a pic of her getting fucked while going down on another woman. She's just a dirty whore. Minnie cooed in the background.
You never needed her.
I'll take care of you, baby. I want to just beat the bitches, what the fuck? A new woman screeched in the background. Chapter 4. Even before the tyrants were dominating nations, they dominated any that came into contact with them. They were drunk on power. Men and women were commanded to fall in love, ordered to perform obscene acts, and to revel in the degradation the tyrants heaped upon them. Their church's propaganda machine did much to obfuscate and twist their early debauchery into something more positive and benevolent than the pure selfishness that truly characterized the tyrants. Excerpt from The History of the Tyrant's Theocracy, by Tina Allard. Mark Glasner. A terrorist. It was so wild. I was a wanted terrorist because I had a little fun in an electronic store. I smiled. The police could do nothing against me. All I had to do was tell them to let me go and they would. There was no one in the world that could stop me. I could do anything. But all I wanted to do was have fun with my girlfriend. I smiled the entire drive to Mary's apartment. Not that it took long, she just lived 10 more blocks up Pacific Avenue in an apartment complex just a block east down 138th Street. It was a lot nicer than mine, with white stucco buildings that looked freshly painted surrounding a courtyard with a clean swimming pool.
Crap.
Mary groaned. I saw the pickup truck that had picked Mary up from her job Wednesday night. Mike's home. I thought he was supposed to be at work.
He should be.
Of course, you can't ever count on the asshole. I smiled.
Well, maybe I should talk to him. He was an asshole, but he wasn't that much of one.
Mary sighed. So only if he gets out of line.
Then I hope he does.
She smiled.
You're incorrigible.
I know. It's why you love me. She leaned over and gave me a kiss. One of the reasons. Mary's apartment was on the second floor, and we quickly climbed the stairs. She pulled the keys out of her purse and opened the door. It was a little messy. A few beer bottles and a half-eaten TV dinner littered the coffee table in the small living room. Mary frowned at that. She moved with purpose through the living room and down a short hallway.
What the fuck?
She screeched.
Mary!
A guy shouted.
You were cheating on me with that slut!
Mary shouted.
You're one to talk, you fucking whore!
My blood boiled. No one called my girlfriend a whore but me. I charged down the hallway.
Let me go, Mike! I'm gonna teach you some goddamn manners, you fucking whore!
I burst into the room. A scruffy guy, naked, had his hands on my Mary, squeezing her arm, his face twisted in rage. A naked woman tried to cover her large breasts as she cowered in the bed. The asshole holding my girlfriend balled up his fist.
Mike, stop moving!
I roared. Mike, the asshole about to punch my girlfriend, freezing in mid-step. Mike was unbalanced, unable to move his arms or legs to try and steady himself, and he crashed to the floor, almost pulling Mary down with him.
Asshole!
She screamed and kicked him in the side. He grunted, but couldn't do anything to defend himself. Mary kicked him a second time.
I knew it! You were cheating on me with that slut!
Mike didn't answer.
You can move, Mike, but only to go stand in the corner!
I growled. Mary kicked him again, aiming for his balls as he scrambled to his feet and rushed to the corner, his smartphone falling to the floor. Murder shone in his dark eyes as he stood in the corner, his chin, mounted with a soul patch that looked ridiculous, quivered with rage.
I'll fucking kill you!
He promised, staring at me.
No, you won't!
I smiled.
Every time you think about killing me, your balls will feel like they've been kicked!
Mike doubled over, gasping in pain. I chuckled and moved over to the bed, sitting down and touching the face of the naked woman. She flinched, her impressive chest heaving with fear.
How?
She gasped.
Sure, don't be afraid.
She relaxed.
What do you think, Mare? I think she should lick my pussy since she fucked my boyfriend.
Well, he's not your boyfriend anymore.
Yeah, well, he was once, and I always knew this little skank spread her legs for him.
Did you?
Yeah.
She admitted.
All the time.
For a year we've been fucking at the shop.
A year?
Mary shrieked.
Well, you should go lick her pussy to make it up to her.
The woman nodded, then crawled across the bed towards Mary, those wonderful tits dangling down, brushing the covers.
Please, Mary.
I'm very sorry. But he's the one that came on to me. He's the asshole who cheated on you. Let me make it up to you. Let me lick your pussy.
Oh, you will.
Mary smiled. After Mark explains your new life. Mary walked over and whispered some instructions to me. I laughed.
That's mean, Mare. He deserves it.
Yes, he does. I agreed. He treated you badly, didn't he? Mary nodded, glowering at Mike.
Well, Mike.
I smiled. You love Minnie with all your heart. You'll never stop loving her or wanting to be with her. You're going to go and buy her an engagement ring and propose as soon as possible.
I will.
Mike promised. I love you, Minnie.
What?
Minnie asked.
We're just fuck buddies, Mike. Remember?
Now, Minnie. I continued. You've loved Mike with all your heart. You'll marry him and stay with him forever no matter how many guys you fuck.
I do love you.
Minnie sighed.
So much.
Only problem, his cock doesn't satisfy you. You love every other cock on the planet more than his. You want to be fucked all the time. You want Mike to watch and know just how little he satisfies you. He's never allowed to fuck you, and once a week, if he's been good, you can jerk him off. Mike, no matter how many times she cheats on you, you'll still love her no matter how much you hate watching her humiliate you.
Right.
Minnie nodded. I love you, Mike, but let's face it, your cock just doesn't get me going.
I know.
Mike sighed.
I try, honey.
She smiled.
I know you do.
I still love you, though. I just have to get my needs satisfied. Why not start with us? Mary smiled. Mark's got the best cock on the planet.
I do have the best cock,
I said, and Minnie smiled. Be sure to tell Mike just how much you love it.
Oh, I will.
Mary patted her cheek.
That's a good slut.
My filly climbed on the bed, reclining, her dark red hair spreading across the white pillows. She hiked up her skirt and revealed her naked pussy, shaved and flushed. Minnie crawled to her, the woman's delectable ass pointed at me.
I am so sorry, Mary.
Minnie cooed, licking her pussy. Minnie had thick lips, protruding out of her hole, and her pussy gaped open, leaking her juices in a flood that matted her neatly trimmed, blonde curls.
Boy, she is dripping wet from my cock, Mike.
I grinned.
Oh, so wet, honey.
Minnie purred.
Fuck me. I need a real cock. I've only had Mike's today.
Come on, babe. Mike groaned.
Sorry, but it's true. I'm so horny. Your little cock just can't satisfy me.
Shit. He muttered.
I still love you, honey. I love, oh yes. Fuck me.
I drove right into her drenched cunt, fucking her for all she was worth. Mary grabbed the slut's head and forced Minnie's mouth back between her thighs. I loved watching my naughty filly getting pleasured, and fuck the whore harder and harder. Minnie moaned loud, letting Mike know just how much she loved it.
Fuck, she's got a loose cunt.
I grunted.
She must fuck a lot of dudes. She is a complete whore.
Mary purred.
That's it, whore. Eat my pussy.
She's humping back. You want me to come in your dirty cunt, don't you, whore?
Yes.
She gasped.
Oh, yes. Come in me.
Yeah, knock the little bitch up. Moaned Mary.
Put a little bastard in her belly for Mike to raise.
Oh, I'm on the pill. Minnie laughed. Part of me was disappointed. I wanted to knock her up. That would have been a nice bit of revenge on Mike for treating my Mary badly. My balls were aching at the thought, ready to come. I fucked her harder and harder, driving her face deeper into Mary's pussy.
Oh, fuck!
Groaned Mary.
That's it. Suck my little clit! I'm gonna flood your dirty mouth with my juices.
Oh, yes.
Oh, fuck, yes.
Mary was so beautiful when she came. Her green eyes squeezed shut, her lips pursed, and such a wonderful, red shade suffused her cheeks. She trembled, gasping and sighing, her back arching, and then she shuddered one last time, and fell back into the pillows. Her green eyes opened, a lazy smile played on her lips.
That was wonderful.
She sighed.
Hurry up and come in her, Mark. I want to get out of here.
Yeah, Mare. I grunted.
Oh, yes.
Come in me. Minnie purred.
Oh, Mike. His cock is driving me wild. I'm gonna come so hard. Watch me come, honey.
I'm watching you.
Good.
It's so much better when you're watching.
I love you so much.
I love you, Minnie.
Fuck.
I grunted.
Such a slutty pussy. Oh, fuck.
My body tensed, my hips bucking quickly into her. My orgasm neared and neared. I slammed into her, and just basted her cunt.
Fuck. Fuck.
Savoring that wonderful high, I pulled out of her cunt and stumbled off the bed, holding my hand out for Mary. She climbed off the bed, took my hand, and pressed against me and kissed me aggressively on the mouth.
Do you see my pussy, honey?
Minnie asked, turning to face Mike.
Look at how much cum a real man shoots. Let's get your stuff and get out of here.
I whispered to her. She laughed and nodded.
We should leave the two lovebirds alone. If Mike's lucky, he might get a handjob today.
Doug Allard.
We should leave the two lovebirds alone,
Mary said.
If Mike's lucky, he might get a handjob today.
What the fuck did I just listen to? Who the fuck was this Mark guy? I couldn't have heard that right. It sounded like he just made Mike and Minnie fall in love and ordered her to cuckold him. What in the hell was that all about?
Oh, hey.
Mike said into the phone.
You're still on the line.
Was that Mark? I asked.
Yeah.
The guy's a real asshole, isn't he?
Did he just make you fall in love with Minnie?
What?
No.
We've always loved each other, right?
Yeah, honey.
Hey, Doug. You sound pretty cute. Wanna come over here and fuck me?
I groaned, my cock swelling.
I'm married.
So?
Happily.
Then bring the wife.
She can watch with Mike, or she can join in.
She hardly seemed like the same woman I spoke to just a little while ago.
So you've never met Mark before? I asked.
Nope.
He's an asshole. But his cock was amazing.
Minnie moaned.
Do you really have to keep saying that?
Mike asked.
I love you, but it hurts.
Sorry, honey.
It was just sex. You know I love you and no one else.
I do.
Mike sighed. Listen, Doug, we got to go. I need to go buy her an engagement ring.
Because Mark told you to?
I guess.
He shrugged.
But I really love her, and I want to marry her.
I don't see the point in waiting.
Later.
The line went dead and I just stared in confusion at my cell phone.
Who the fuck is this guy?
I didn't believe in magic or miracles, and fuck, I had almost stopped believing in God when a drunk driver killed my first wife, and I had abandoned my faith altogether when my second wife, just a week after our marriage, died in her sleep of a brain aneurysm. But how else could I explain what just happened but magic? How else do you just make someone change like that?
It hit me. This is what happened to Brandon. This is why Cynthia gushed about her new girlfriend Mark had introduced her to.
And what about Mary? She must be another victim in all of this, ripped from her boyfriend and taken by this bastard to be part of whatever deviant desires he was after.
Fuck. What have I gotten myself into?
Chapter 5. Which tyrant committed the worst crimes?
Mark's are obvious.
He led, but Mary followed. There is no question that Mary was once dominated by Mark and made into his thrall. Yet early on it was clear she had become a warlock in her own right. She witnessed what Mark was capable of doing with his powers and embraced the depravity. She had no compunction at twisting lives to her whim, and she did it after having her own life warped. Excerpt from The History of the Tyrant's Theocracy, by Tina Allard. Mary Sullivan. There were still hours to kill before I made my pact with the devil tonight. And I was nervous as hell as we left Mike. My anger at my ex-boyfriend for cheating on me for a year was slowly consumed by my fear of what was going to happen tonight.
You okay, Mare?
Mark said as we climbed into his car.
I don't know.
I sighed.
It's all starting to feel so real.
You hungry?
Not really.
I muttered.
I think I know how to take your mind off this.
I arched an eyebrow.
Depraved sex?
Dinner. There's this great Japanese steakhouse in Spainway. Great food and it's entertaining to watch the chefs.
Yeah, why not?
I didn't think I could eat, but it sounded better than doing nothing. It was a 15-minute drive down Pacific Avenue, past the Starbucks I used to work at. I smiled, remembering the orgy we had yesterday morning. I wonder if Cynthia was happy with Vivian? I hope they were. If Mark could make people think they loved each other, was that so bad so long as they were happy? The restaurant resembled nothing more than a warehouse. I stared in at Mark as if he was crazy. Between the corrugated metal walls and a tin roof, I couldn't believe this was a nice restaurant. Or even a clean one.
Come on, Mare.
Mark said.
Okay.
I sighed, trusting Mark. Once inside you wouldn't know it's part of a shitty warehouse. Rice paper walls and dark wood made it seem like a traditional Japanese house. The art on the walls were reproduction Japanese wood carvings and watercolor painting. Simple, austere paintings of birds, flowers, waterfalls, or empty Fuji with a haiku written in Japanese characters. The waitresses were dressed in simple kimonos, black, with red flowers and cinched with red, wide sashes tied in elaborate bows at the small of their back.
Hi.
The waitress bowed when she walked up.
Welcome to Samurai, this way please.
I could see the gleam in Mark's blue eyes and I wondered if anything naughty was going to happen. The waitress led us to a circular table with a black, flat grill in the center. Another couple was already sitting there, a boorish man, short and round, his black hair greased back and dressed in an ill-fitting, gray suit and red silk shirt without a tie. His date was a very attractive woman, porcelain face surrounded by black ringlets of hair. Her lips were pouty and begging to be kissed, covered in a dark red lipstick. She wore a sleek red dress, fitting tightly to her curves and falling to her ankles.
Hi, I'm Diane.
She warmly greeted, her breasts jiggling in the oval, keyhole cutout.
I'm Mary and this is my boyfriend, Mark.
I introduced, smiling warmly at Diane.
I'm Keith,
the boorish man said. He started to say something, when his phone rang. Without even excusing himself, he answered the phone, turning away from Diane and talking quietly.
That's the second time he's done that.
Diane complained to me.
Have you been dating long?
I asked. She shook her head.
First date, and let me tell you it'll be the last one. I think I'm done with online dating for a while.
I giggled.
Well, I'll keep you company anyway.
I said, adjusting my posture to emphasize my chest in the white, corset dress I was wearing. I saw her eyes flick down to my cleavage, a ghost of a smile played on her red lips. Keith hung up the phone and immediately badgered Mark about sports, mainly the Seattle Seahawks.
Mark clearly wasn't a sports guy unlike my ex-boyfriend, Mike, and he muddled along as best he could. Keith didn't seem to notice, or maybe he just didn't care, as he launched into a tirade about how this year the Seahawks were going to the Super Bowl and that the refs better not screw them over like last time. Not once did Keith acknowledge his date at all. What an asshole. A waitress took our orders and a few minutes later a Japanese chef arrived with a tray full of cooking supplies. He oiled the grill and diced the meat and vegetables with impressive flair, tossing food into the air. He was quite talented, making funny jokes. It was clearly a well-rehearsed and pretty entertaining performance. He even somehow sliced an onion and stacked it into a cone with some amazingly fast knife work, and then steam poured out the top, like a little onion volcano.
Wonderful!
I clapped my hands, delight bubbling through me, and then casually rested one on Diane's thigh. Out of the corner of my eye, Diane smiled, grabbing a piece of grilled meat with her chopsticks and popping it into her mouth. Mark saw my hand on her leg and winked at me, squeezing my own thigh. Diane shifted in her seat, causing my hand to slip down between her thighs.
There are such wonderful surprises at this restaurant.
She smiled. I slid higher up her thigh.
Definitely.
Then, feeling real bold, I turned towards Diane, allowing my short skirt to ride up and spread my legs, flashing my naked pussy at her. Diane licked her lips, then grabbed a piece of meat on her chopsticks and said,
"You just have to try this."
As she brought it to my lips, her other hand slipped down and rubbed deliciously at my vulva for a moment. I moaned appreciatively. Her fingers came away damp and she licked them, savoring my flavor.
"That's a tasty sauce."
I grinned, pushing my hand higher up her thigh until I was brushing her pant-high-covered pussy.
"Very tasty."
Diane purred as I stroked her. She was wet, her juices bleeding through her panties.
"You have got to try the other one."
I pulled my fingers out from between her thighs and sucked them between my lips. Her sauce had a sweet, tangy flavor.
"That is wonderful. I gotta use the restroom,"
Diane said with a casual air. Her date was on his phone for the third time and didn't seem to even hear her.
"I'll join you,"
I answered, acting just as casual. I kissed Mark as I rose and he whispered,
"Have fun."
Mark was a great guy, very understanding. I'm glad I decided to stay with him. One of the waitresses walked by and Mark's eye flicked over to her ass swaying in the kimono. I wouldn't be surprised to learn he stuck his dick in the cutie. Actually, I'd be surprised if he hadn't. Mark Glasner. Mary and her new friend disappeared into the bathroom, sharing sultry glances, and I had the feeling my filly was about to get naughty in there. I grinned, glad she had found a release for her stress. I knew she was worried about meeting with the devil tonight. Fuck, I was nervous too.
"Hey man, what do you think of Seattle's defense?
The LOB is shut up," I growled, irritation flashing through me. I was tired of this boor. I hadn't used my powers, wanting to give Mary a normal, relaxing dinner, but she was having her fun and it was time to have some of my own. One of the sexy waitresses in their kimonos walked by. I reached out, grabbing the end of her sash and pulling on the bow tied at the small of her back. She whirled around, her porcelain face growing red with outrage.
"Sir, do not touch my obi. I will let me fuck you. Your little pussy is growing wet and just wants to feel my cock buried to the hilt in you."
Her cheeks stayed red, but desire, not anger, burned in her eyes. Her head nodded, her eyes looking down with submission. My cock throbbed. Still holding the end of her obi, I grinned at the boorish guy and pulled her behind a rice paper triptych painted with watercolors. I pressed her against the wall, pulling her loosened kimono open. Her body was petite, clad by plain, boring panties and a bra. I shoved her panties to the side, a thick, black bush covering her pussy, and buried into her.
"Fuck, you're tight,"
I groaned, hammering my cock away. I closed my eyes while she gasped and moaned, her pussy squeezing hot and wet about my cock, and pictured Mary in the bathroom. I wonder what they were doing. Was Mary sucking on Diane's hot little pussy, or was my filly riding her face, smearing her shaved cunt about Diane's hungry mouth? My hips thrust faster as I imagined Mary's sweet cries as she came. I shuddered, groaning, and fired off a big load of cum into her pussy. I pulled out, breathing heavily. It was a quick cum, just enough to take the edge off.
"Thanks,"
I grinned, leaving her panting and gasping, her body aroused but not satisfied.
"You better go get cleaned up."
"Yes, sir,"
she moaned, wrapping her kimono back together. I went back to the seat and Keith looked at me in amazement.
"Bitch was hot for me."
I shrugged at him, grabbing another bit of meat.
"You can speak again."
Mary Sullivan.
"You are so hot,"
purred Diane as we entered the bathroom. Before I could react, she was pushing me up against the counter and plunging her tongue into my mouth. I sat up on the counter and wrapped my legs around her hips, my skirt riding up. I shoved my hand down her blouse and played with her firm, naked breast and hard nipple. I felt her nipple and marveled at how fat it was as I rolled it between my fingers. Her mouth was hot and we kissed and moaned into each other's lips. I was forgetting all about my problems as this beautiful woman made my pussy melt.
"Fuck, you are stirring me up,"
I moaned after a few minutes of hot kissing.
"I'm going to explode. I have that effect on women,"
laughed Diane. Diane loosened the laces on my corset and my breast popped out. She bent down, kissing my freckled orbs and then sucking one of my tiny, dusky nipples into her mouth. Her lips were firm and gentle. She felt so good nursing my tit.
"Oh my,"
a woman gasped. We froze, Diane's mouth wrapped around my hard nipple and my hand down her blouse. One of the waitresses had walked in. Her olive skin flushed, her sash badly tied and her kimono in disarray.
Mark had fucked her fast. He must have popped off almost right away in her pussy.
Want to join?
I asked, licking my lips. I love to lick Mark's come out of another woman's cunt. She looked down at the floor and quickly walked into the stall. There was the rustle of fabric, and then she started peeing. I was disturbed by how erotic that sounded. An image flashed of me pissing into Allison's mouth. I moaned, glad Diane was sucking at my nipple again, distracting me from that perverse thought.
Are you always this eager to fuck strange women in a bathroom?
I asked as she stroked my thigh.
When I go clubbing, I love fucking strange women in the bathroom or on the dance floor.
She moaned and then sucked my other nipple into her mouth.
Last night, I had a hot threesome. What about your date?
I asked, confused.
I'm bi,
she answered. Girls are fun, but I prefer men for long-term relationships. She slid down and spread my thighs and licked up my wet slit.
What about you? You left your date quick enough.
Mark had revealed to me my long-buried, lesbian desires.
I'm bi. Mark knows what we're doing. He likes watching me with other women. Sometimes we share them or watch each other. It's so hot.
There was a soft moan from the stall. I smiled, realizing the waitress was masturbating.
Wow, wish I had a guy that special.
Diane said, then stuck her tongue deep into my pussy. Her tongue was amazing, flicking through me, stirring through my dripping, spongy flesh.
Lick my clit, you fucking slut.
I moaned, wanting the waitress to know what was going on.
Eat my pussy, you nasty whore.
Diane seemed to like the dirty names, because her tongue was really digging into my pussy. I shuddered on her face when she suddenly nipped my clit.
Oh, you're making me come. Oh, fuck. Fuck. Fuck.
I gripped her curly, black hair and flooded her mouth with my juices. Diane stood up, face smeared with pussy cream. I kissed her, enjoying my musk on her lips, spicy and sweet.
God, you're a squirter.
Diane breathed.
Fuck, you know your way around a pussy.
I panted. She beamed with pride. I pushed Diane back against the tiled wall and slid down, pushing her skirt to the side to find a lacy, black thong. I pulled it off and her pussy was covered by curly, black hair, neatly trimmed, her pussy wet and pink at the center. She smelled tangy and sweet. I ran my tongue through the forest of black hair and across her juicy labia. She tasted heavenly.
Oh, your tongue is nice, slut.
Diane moaned.
Eat my sloppy pussy until I come all over your slutty face.
There was another muffled groan from the waitress in the stall as I dug my tongue deep into the warm wetness of her pussy. My hands gripped her firm ass, pulling her head against my mouth, stuffing my tongue as deep as I could inside her. She writhed, fucking herself on my tongue, smearing juices all over my face.
God, you're a good muff diver.
Diane moaned.
Fuck that nasty tongue up my twat, you fucking whore.
She grabbed my hair and ground her pussy on my face, using me as a sex toy. It was so nasty, my own snatch was itching, eager for more pleasure. I slipped my hand down and fingered my own pussy, digging in deeply and searching for my G-spot. Diane moaned wordlessly, shuddering on my face and her pussy contracting on my tongue. I found my G-spot, stroking that sensitive bundle of nerves. Pleasure swelled inside me, and then I shuddered and moaned, joining Diane in a mind-numbing, shuddering orgasm. I held into her pussy as I quavered, my she squeezing down on my fingers. And then bliss flooded through me as my orgasm died down.
That was amazing!
She purred, letting go of my hair. I stumbled back and sat on the tiled floor.
Yeah!
I stood up, brushing dirt from my ass and stumbled to the sink, my legs weak from my intense orgasm. I turned on a faucet and rinsed the pussy juices off my nose and cheeks, leaving some on my lips for Mark to taste. Diane joined me, looking just as messy as I felt. The toilet flushed and the waitress slowly walked out, flushed and breathless. There was a shy smile on her face, and she washed her sticky fingers off in the third sink.
We should get back,
I said.
Before your date misses you.
Diane rolled her eyes.
He's probably still on the phone. Christ, what a dick!
The waitress gave a snort of laughter, and we eyed her. She looked shyly away, finished washing her hands, and darted out of the bathroom.
We should do this again,
I suggested.
Yeah, I'll take you to this hot club, the Clam Diver, and we'll have a lot of fun in the bathroom,
she said. No boyfriends though, it's a girl's only kind of place.
Sure, sounds fun.
We swapped phone numbers and kissed one last time. Keith was oddly silent, staring at my boyfriend as he ate, disbelief on his lips. Mark stood up and I kissed him, letting him taste Diane's delicious cunt.
Thank you,
I whispered as he held out my chair like a gentleman. Mark smiled.
You seemed more relaxed.
I speared a slice of steak and realized as I chewed that Mark was right. I had so much fun with Diane that I completely forgot about the fact I was about to sell my soul to the devil. All my stress was gone and I felt too much bliss pumping through me to worry about it right now. Diane was a very special woman and I wondered what our next liaison would be like. I smiled and speared some diced vegetables and popped them into my mouth. That would wait until later, tonight I made my pact.
Chapter 6.
Our greatest advantage is the selfishness of man. They do not share power willingly. And warlocks are the most selfish of men. While our enemy is vile, give thanks to the Creator that you will never have to face more than a single one. Excerpt from the prep book of the Order of Mary Magdalene. Mark Glasner. After our relaxing dinner, we drove out to the very crossroads I had made my own pact at a few nights ago. I dug a new hole, next to mine, and then we had a few hours to kill. We stretched out on some soft grass, Mary pressed against my body, her head pillowed on my arm,
and we watched the sky darken and the stars slowly appear, twinkling like diamonds. The nerves returned as we lay there, and the summoning approached. But we drew strength from each other. The longer we watched, the calmer Mary grew, the tension melting from her body, and it was almost like her calm was infecting me, and I just grew to enjoy the feel of her against me, the touch of her silk hair as the breeze caused strands to caress my cheek. The stars were almost as beautiful as Mary.
"Oh, a shooting star," Mary exclaimed, pointing at the streak of white.
"Did you make a wish?" I asked. She grinned, nodding.
"What?
If I tell you, it won't come true. And I really want it to happen." I caressed her cheek.
"Your wish will come true. And if doesn't, I'll make it be true. I'll give you the world on a silver platter. Just ask."
Her smile grew and she leaned over and kissed me on the lips. Warmth and joy spread through me, kindled by her sweet kiss, and I stroked her hair, sliding my hand down to squeeze her perfect tit through her blouse. Her nipple was hard, her breath growing heated. The alarm on my phone went off. Mary tensed. It was 11:55.
"You don't have to do this,"
I told her, staring into her green depths.
"I do, Mark."
She stood up, holding out her hand and helped me up. We walked to the hole, staring down at the shoebox buried in it. I handed her the shovel, and she stood there, ready to pile the dirt over her box and complete the ritual. I stared at the clock on my phone. 4 minutes. Mary's jaw trembled. 3 minutes. She bit her lip, shivering. I put my arm around her, pulling her to me. Some of her tension melted away. 2 minutes.
"Is it time yet?"
she asked, her voice small and tight.
"Not yet."
1 minute.
"Last chance, you sure you want to do this?"
I asked. She didn't answer. The shovel shook in her hand.
"It's midnight."
Mary stood frozen, staring down at the hole.
"You don't have to do this,"
I told her, giving her arm a squeeze.
"It's a big thing to do. I have to do it, Mark,"
she whispered. Then quickly, before her resolve failed, she shoveled the pile of dirt, burying her box. We backed away from the hole. I hugged her, and she gripped me tight. And we waited. And waited. Eternity seemed to pass and Mary's trembles grew stronger and stronger until I was sure she was going to fly apart.
"Maybe it didn't work,"
Mary whispered, shattering the silence of the night.
"It worked, Mary Sullivan,"
a pleasant voice said from the darkness. We both jumped as the devil stepped out of the shadows. He was a handsome man with scarlet eyes, dressed in the same black, expensive suit he wore 2 nights ago, a friendly smile gracing his face. He took Mary's hand, raised it up, and kissed the back of her hand, like an old-fashioned gentleman. Then he shook my hand.
"Good to see you again, Mark Glasner. The boys and I downstairs love what you're doing."
"Thanks," I stammered.
"So what can I do for you, Mary Sullivan?"
the devil asked.
"Eternal beauty?"
Mary swallowed, and with more confidence than I had 2 nights ago said,
"I want 3 wishes in exchange for my soul."
"Of course, I would be more than happy to," the devil replied in his friendly, relaxing manner.
"My first wish is for Mark and I to stay young, healthy, and beautiful for as long as Mark lives."
I blinked in surprise. My first wish had been for a long, a healthy life. Mary was smart enough to get the same thing, plus she would get to stay young and beautiful as well. Actually, we both would. I smiled at her, she was a smart cookie. The devil chuckled.
"Very well. Although Mark isn't that beautiful."
Mary giggled.
"Oh, I don't know. He has a certain charm about him."
Mary hugged me a little tighter.
"For my second wish, I want Mark and I to love each other unconditionally for eternity."
Mary looked hesitantly at me, afraid I would object. I didn't. I had made her love me originally. It was only fair that she made sure that I would never leave her. This must be why she wanted to make a deal.
"Unconventional,"
the devil said.
"But more than doable. Soulmates are easy to keep together."
"Soulmates?"
"For my final wish, I—"
Mary paused, blushing beet red.
"I want other women to desire me and, not to resist my sexual advances."
"Naughty filly," I whispered and kissed her forehead.
"All right,"
the devil grinned. There was understanding in the devil's eyes, not judgment.
"An excellent wish. You have found yourself a rare woman, Mark Glasner. I would tell you to never let her go, but your souls are about to be chained so tight together, only the meddling of heaven could pry you apart."
Scarlet light flashed and yellow smoke erupted, filling the air with an acrid reek. A contract appeared in the devil's hand.
"Look it over,"
he said, handing the contract to Mary. Mary read the contract, then nodded her head. The devil pricked her finger with an old-fashioned, black fountain pen. She signed in her own blood, no hesitation, then the devil signed in his. He rolled up the contract.
"Any questions, Mary?"
She shook her head. There was an awkward pause, and then the devil looked over at me, a considering look on his face. I felt like a hunk of butchered meat, and I tightened my arms about Mary. Finally, the devil pulled a small, red crystal out of his pocket and held it up. The gem glinted with its own fire, bathing all 3 of us in scarlet light.
"You are a rare man,"
the devil smiled.
"I like your style."
"Thanks." I swallowed, squeezing Mary tight as fear spiked inside me.
"If you are ever in trouble, hold this crystal and say, 'Lilith, appear before me, and help will appear,'"
the devil instructed. I gingerly held out my hand and he dropped it in.
"Why would I?"
The devil vanished into the shadows. I stared at the gem, worried, twisting my guts.
"Why would I need this?"
Mary closed my hand about the gem, her hand warm on mine,
and smiled reassuringly at me.
I don't know, but we'll face it together.
Lilith the Abyss. I heard my name spoke by Lucifer all the way down in the depths of hell. Anger boiled in me. I moved up through the layers of damnation, reaching the shadows, the uppermost limit of the abyss. It was called limbo by some, the boundary between life and damnation. Here the most powerful of us could watch the mortal world and, with the greatest of efforts, nudge the dreams of men and women. Lucifer watched a pair of mortals, a disgusting man and a woman that fawned over him like a bitch in heat. Clutched in his hand was a red gem that throbbed with scarlet light. I swallowed, glaring at Lucifer. I owed the Morning Star a debt, and he had given it to some mortal. And a man. I shuddered in disgust at the thought of serving a loathsome man.
Why did you give him that?
I demanded of Lucifer, trying not to flinch as he assumed his favorite form, a being of pure light, marred only by the two black pits of his eyes.
I like him, Lilith.
Lucifer answered.
But why my name?
I demanded.
If you want to give gifts to your pets, leave me out. Why not Astarte?
She loves slutting around with mortals.
With men.
Or Chaymash. It's been centuries since he's rampaged about the world. The opposition already has his scent. Lucifer answered. A priestess is already on her way. One of those nuns sworn to Magdalene.
So?
I asked, what did I care if some warlock was stupid enough to attract the opposition's attention? Lucifer grinned at me.
Like I said, I like him.
Liar.
You only like yourself?
I peered at him. I could feel his satisfied smirk through his blinding light. What game were you playing at? And how could I turn it to my advantage? I smiled back. He did say a priestess, and there were all sorts of things I could accomplish with one of those in my grasp. Freedom from the abyss would be a nice start.
Part 6.
Chapter 1. Sister Louise Afra was the most senior Magdalenite nun working in North America. Her 50-year career was marked by a number of dangerous warlocks. The most infamous warlock she exorcised before tackling the tyrants was Kurt Wagner, a sociopath that brutally abused the women he enthralled. Excerpt from The History of the Tyrant's Theocracy, by Tina Allard. Friday, June 7, 2013, Sister Louise Afra, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm so sorry about the mix-up, Sister Louise.
The check-in clerk at Chicago's O'Hare International said, disbelief tinging her voice whenever she said,
Sister.
The clerk, Nancy, still didn't quite believe I was a nun. I couldn't blame her since I was dressed in a tight, cobalt blue dress that barely covered my ass and had a deep, plunging neckline. The stiletto heels I wore made my rear nice and perky, and thigh-high, black stockings, held up by garters, peeked out beneath my skirt. Nestled between my breasts was a gold crucifix. For the last 30 years, I have been Sister Louise Afra, of the Order of the Sisters of Mary Magdalene, dedicated to fighting against the forces of darkness. To aid us in our mission, certain gifts had been bestowed. One of those gifts was youthful beauty. I was 51, but still had the perky breasts, smooth skin, fresh face, and tight ass of an 18-year-old. I was gifted with sight, allowing me to see the mark of evil on people's aura, and the providence of God would guide me in my mission. So long as I had faith, chance and coincidence would lead me unerringly to my goal. My mission, and the purpose of my order, was to exorcise warlocks and free their thralls. Depending on their wishes, warlocks could inflict a lot of damage. Most warlocks, particularly males, wished for a power that allowed some form of domination over others, making the person their thrall. Often it was to fulfill some pathetic, sexual desire. The only way to stop a warlock, short of killing him, was exorcism. And that was what the dress, and the other skimpy clothing in my suitcase, were for. To exorcise a warlock, I had to fuck him, or her, and when they orgasmed, I would rob them of their powers. Seduction was one of the many tools we nuns used. Of course, fucking a man out of wedlock or engaging in lesbian sex were mortal sins. While I could go to confession after my mission was done and gain absolution, it was far simpler for my order to receive a papal indulgence. So, after the Archangel Gabriel visited his ecstasy upon me 2 hours ago, sending me on my mission, a papal indulgence had arrived by fax, signed by the Pope himself. I was forgiven, in advance, for all my sins I would commit until my mission was done. And I planned to sin a lot. It was one of the perks of fighting evil. So I had packed my bags in a hurry, excited to fight some evil. And to get laid. Suitcases in hand, I walked out of the small caretaker's house at St. Mary and found a cab idling on the street. Some would call that lucky, but I had faith that Providence was at work. Until my mission was complete, the Lord would guide me to those who would help me until I was ready to face the warlock. When I arrived at O'Hare, I believed I was heading to Washington State to tangle with the warlock causing problems. But I didn't know that for sure.
Well, here's your ticket, sister.
Nancy said, and I smiled warmly at her, stroking her hand gently as she handed me my ticket and boarding pass. She jerked her hands back and gave me a weird look. She was probably not used to a woman, let alone a nun, flirting with her.
Sorry for the system error.
I sighed, glancing at the tickets. I had an hour kill before my flight, and spending that time with Nancy, maybe in a cozy bathroom stall, would have been nice. 30 years ago, I had been dominated by a female warlock, the first of the many ladies she had in her harem, and I had grown fond of loving women. The many different shapes their breasts could take, or the curves of her hips and ass, and all the different shapes and sizes a woman's labia could form. I licked my lips, thinking of the varied musk a woman exudes when she's aroused. I was getting wet just thinking about it. I looked at my ticket to see where I was headed. I had a non-stop flight to Seattle-Tacoma International Airport,
departing in 40 minutes and scheduled to land in Seattle at 2:20 a.m., local time. I tried to do math in my head and thought it was almost a 4.5-hour flight. I had fond memories of Washington State. 12 years ago I had stopped this warlock, Kurt, who thought he was a rock star, using his power to convince people how amazing he sounded on guitar and recruiting about a dozen women to his harem. I had exorcised him and rescued the women, recruiting one to the Order Sister Theodora Merriam. Sister Theodora had been a wreck after being freed. The warlock had made her divorce the husband she loved and abandon her 3 daughters. She required a lot of consoling afterward. We had spent 2 wonderful weeks on the California coast, making love on the beach, or anywhere else we could get our hands on each other, before she took her vows and received her gift. She had just returned from Phoenix this afternoon, calling me up and telling me all about the warlock name text she had exorcised. Warlocks were popping up more and more often. When I joined 30 years ago, I only went on a mission once a year. Then it was twice, thrice, and now it seemed like it was once a month. Something was changing, and the order was growing weaker and weaker. Final boarding for Flight 341 nonstop to Seattle is boarding at gate 17. A woman announced over the speaker. I glanced at my ticket and walked faster to the gate. You just made it. The gate attendant smiled, taking my boarding pass. I guess someone was watching out for you. I nodded. Providence at work. I had first class tickets, and there were only 2 other passengers, both frazzled businessmen who quickly fell asleep after takeoff. The first class stewardess was a dusky beauty named Sarai, who wore a white, long-sleeved shirt and navy blue vest that her tits filled out nicely. A navy blue pencil skirt clung tightly to her hips and legs. Her face had an exotic beauty to it, and her accent was musical. When she handed me my champagne, her fingers lingered a moment on my wrist, igniting fire that ran down my body and quickened my loins. I smiled seductively at her. I'm Sister Louise. I purred. I'm Sarai. She answered back. Please do not hesitate to ask for anything. It's my job to satisfy any need you have. I hope so. After the flight leveled out, Sarai brought me a second flute of champagne and sat in the seat across the aisle from me. She had her own flute, and held her finger up to her lip. Sure, it's our little secret. I'm sure you've earned it. I flirted back, winking. You have no idea. She sighed, rubbing a foot in her dark blue, comfortable-looking shoes. But it's worth it when you meet such beautiful people. I bet. Then I looked around and leaned over the aisle, and slid her shoe off and socks and massaged her foot. Sarai shifted in her seat, turning so her feet dangled over the armrest into the aisle. That's nice. Sarai purred. So, is it business or pleasure that brings you to Seattle?
Both.
I answered. I'm a nun, a Magdalenite sister. I have some things to attend to in Seattle, but I'm hoping to experience some of the pleasures of the Pacific Northwest. Sarai seemed puzzled. A nun, huh? You're not what I expected. Clearly she wasn't used to a nun hitting on her, but she relaxed as I continued rubbing her foot with firm pressure, kneading her soles with my thumb. I leaned over to, pretending to get a better grip on her foot, but really to let her get a good view down my cleavage. My order is very unorthodox, I answered, switching to her other foot. Her legs spread and I caught a brief glimpse of her panties leopard print. What a naughty girl.
I'm Muslim,
Sarai confided. So I haven't had a lot of experience with nuns. I've always wondered, but is the Mile High Club a real thing? I asked, continuing my massage. I mean, have you ever heard people, you know, in the lavatories? Sarai giggled, getting a little tipsy from the champagne.
It happens occasionally. We try to be discreet if we discover it. Usually, if you knock on the door, it flusters a couple so much that they quickly leave. Have you ever done it?
There was a naughty twinkle in her eye.
Maybe.
Oh, you naughty girl, I whispered. She winked at me, fluttering those long lashes. I let go of her foot and downed the rest of my champagne and felt a pressure in my bladder.
Excuse me, I need to pop into the ladies' room real quick.
Sarai smiled warmly and finished off her champagne. I stood up, grabbing my beaded purse, and stumbled a bit as the plane hit some turbulence. I made it to the first-class lavatory and slipped in, quickly doing my business, washing my hands, and checking my makeup in the mirror. My face was round and doll-like with sky-gray eyes and plump lips that just begged to be kissed. I touched up my red lipstick and adjusted my top so my tits were more visible and opened the door, eager to get back to flirting with Sarai. Only she was standing outside waiting for me, a hungry look on her face.
I was wondering if you need any assistance.
She purred.
Yes, I do.
I pulled her into the lavatory, kissing her fiercely. Sarai's tongue was hot and dexterous as she probed my mouth. She shoved me against the wall and pulled up my skirt, exposing my black garters and the curly thatch of light brown pubic hair.
Are you really a nun?
Sarai asked, sliding a finger slowly through my vulva. She brushed my clit, and I shuddered in delight.
I mean, what kind of nun doesn't wear panties?
Oh yes, I'm a nun, I moaned.
But we're still human. We still have desires.
I captured her lips in another kiss as her finger slowly rubbed circles on my clit.
But how can you be gay and still be a nun?
She pressed, teasing my clit so wonderfully. Electricity surged through my body, tingling along all my nerves.
We all serve the Lord in our own ways, I panted. We all have our sins we struggle with, crosses we bear. Oh fuck, you're making me come, you hot little bitch.
Sarai kissed my lips, stifling my moans as I came on her fingers. Pleasure rolled through me, shuddering through my body. I loved it. There was something so soft and amazing about a woman's fingers sliding in and out of your pussy.
You are a bad nun, aren't you?
Sarai hissed, licking my fingers and then holding them up so I could taste myself.
A naughty nun who loves to sin.
Yes, I am.
Do you always fuck your passengers in the bathroom?
Only the beautiful ones, Sarai said and started to unbutton her vest. Her shirt followed, slipping to the floor of the lavatory, revealing a strapless, leopard print bra that clasped in the front. The bra matched the panties I had glimpsed. I reached out and freed her tits. They were plump and full, so I rubbed my face between them, enjoying her silky skin. I found a hard, dark nipple and sucked it into my mouth.
That's nice,
moaned Sarai.
Wait until you feel my mouth on your pussy.
I promised.
I can't wait.
I kissed down her stomach, and she giggled as I tongued her cute belly button. My hands slid down her hips, pulling her skirt so it bunched about her hips. Her leopard print panties were wet with desire, pulled tight so I could see her delicious camel toe. I breathed in her arousal, an intoxicating musk.
You smell delicious,
I purred.
I can't wait to taste you. Pull my panties and eat my pussy.
I hooked my fingers in the waistband of her panties and slowly pulled them down. Her pussy was shaved bare, vulva glistening with sticky juices. For a moment, a gleaming line of juices linked pussy and panties before it snapped. Her snatch was beautiful, clit hard and throbbing, vulva red with passion. Thank you, Lord, for this bounty, I prayed silently, then feasted on her womanhood. My tongue swiped through her juicy lips and met resistance. She still had a hymen.
You're a virgin?
I gasped, in surprise.
A good Muslim girl saves herself for marriage,
Sarai answered rotely.
And Allah doesn't have a problem with you fingering women?
I asked with suspicion. She giggled.
No more than Jesus has a problem with you eating another woman's cunt.
The minx had me there. I found it exciting to eat out a virgin's cunt, even if she was only technically a virgin. I could not fuck my tongue deeply into her pussy as I would like, so I settled for lapping along her labia, drinking her musky flavor. My thumb found her hard little clit and rubbed it in fast, hard circles as I devoured her sex. Sarai gasped, her hips grounding her pussy on my face and her tits heaving with excitement.
Oh yes,
Sarai moaned quietly.
Eat my virgin cunt! Oh fuck, your tongue feels amazing on my virgin pussy!
She panted hard, and as her orgasm approached, she lost her English, chanting in Arabic. Musky cream flooded my mouth, drenching my face with her passion, and I drank her bounty. She was panting, eyes closed, and whispered,
"That was amazing!"
I smiled as I rose-kissed her. She eagerly licked her musk off my face. God had delivered me a virgin, and I was excited to take my reward. I reached for my purse. She eyed me, her eyebrows furrowing, as I rooted around in my beaded purse then pulled out a small, purple dildo and the strap-on harness. Fear quickened in her eyes, and she backed away from me as I pulled the strap-on up my slender legs.
We should be leaving,
Sarai said, licking her lips.
The other passengers might be awake.
I adjusted the straps, making sure the dildo rubbed on my hard clit, then smiled hungrily at her.
I thought you said you were here to satisfy me? Please, miss.
Sarai backed up, bumping into the door. I reached back behind my neck, undoing the lacings that held my dress up. The fabric fell away, exposing my small, perky breasts. Sarai swallowed, staring lustfully at my hard nipples. I stepped forward and she flinched as the dildo touched her stomach. Another step, and my pale tits kissed dark breasts.
Don't you want to stop being a good Muslim girl?
I asked, leaning in to kiss her.
Don't you want to be bad?
I. She stuttered. I slid the dildo between her legs, rubbing up against her slick cunt.
Don't you want to experience all the pleasures Allah gave you?
I kissed her neck, and slid the dildo up and just into her pussy, pressing gently against her hymen.
Your pussy was made to be fucked, and it feels so amazing when a hard object fills you up.
I licked her ears.
You're getting wet thinking about my dildo fucking your cunt.
She shook her head, trying to wiggle away from my invading dildo.
Just admit you want a beautiful woman to take your virginity. To make you a dirty, filthy, lesbian whore.
She looked at me, tears shining in her eyes.
Allah, forgive me.
She whispered and nodded her head.
Say it.
I hissed.
Beg me to make you my lesbian whore. Please.
She whispered hoarsely.
Please fuck my virgin cunt. Please, make me your lesbian whore.
She gasped as I fucked the hard piece of plastic through her hymen, the dildo rubbing pleasantly on my clit. I fucked Sarai hard and fast. She moaned delightfully into my ear. The door rattled from the force of our fucking. Just outside this door, two men slept. They could wake up at any moment. Or another stewardess could discover us, or even the pilot. We could be discovered without warning, and that made the sex even hotter.
Oh fuck!
Sarai gasped loudly.
Oh fuck my pussy! Oh, this is so amazing! If you keep being so loud, someone's going to hear.
I whispered in her ear as I fucked her.
Unless you want to be caught.
I giggled.
You want to show the world that you're a bad, little Muslim girl. A dirty, whorish lesbian. Yes.
She hissed and shuddered as she came on the dildo.
I'm a dirty, lesbian slut. I love sucking tits and eating cunts.
What a wild slut she was. Saturday, June 8, 2013, Mark Glasner, South Hill, Washington. It was 1 in the morning when we arrived back at the house we borrowed from Brandon Fitzsimmons. It was a magnificent house, wasted on the fat man. I also borrowed his hot, Latina trophy wife. It had been so hot fucking Desiree right in front of him. It was dark inside.
Allison and Desiree were already asleep. I had told them not to stay up, and we headed for our bedroom and slipped naked into bed, the red crystal still clutched in my hand. The devil's words echoed in my head, "If you are ever in trouble, hold this crystal and say, 'Lilith, appear before me, and help will appear.'"
"Why do I need this?"
I asked Mary as she snuggled her warm body against mine, holding the crystal up. It sparkled red in the bedside lamp's light.
"What danger is he talking about?"
Mary, her face pale, shook her head.
"And who or what is Lilith?"
"That name is familiar," Mary murmured.
"I think it's from Vampire, the Masquerade."
"Wait, what?" I asked, staring incredulously at her.
"You played that?"
Mary laughed.
"Yeah, there was a 6 months or so in my junior year of high school that I really got into Twilight. And a friend introduced me to the local vampire, the Masquerade Coven, and I spent Tuesdays and Thursday nights LARPing as the vampirist Damona."
"Wow," I grinned, amused.
"You LARPed?"
"Yeah," she admitted, sounding slightly embarrassed.
"Although, we just hung out and dressed in the awfulest black clothing and wore too much black makeup. With my pale skin I looked like a corpse. Which I guess was the point, but I never really liked it."
"I don't know," I said.
"I bet you were real sexy as a goth."
I pictured Mary, black dress contrasting to her pale skin, black lipstick staining her lips. Her auburn hair would add an exciting splash of color, draped over one shoulder and falling down into her cleavage.
"Anyway," she said, frowning at me, "I'm pretty sure Lilith was the mother of monsters, or something like that. Some demon, or something like that. One of the vampire cults had something to do with her."
I grabbed my smartphone out and googled Lilith.
"Huh,"
reading the Wikipedia page.
"She was a Canaanite goddess and, according to Jewish mythology, was Adam's first wife, but she refused to submit to his authority, so he divorced her and married Eve."
"Good for her," Mary said. The fact that I had initially used my powers to control Mary was still a sore subject between us, so I didn't rise to her bait, and continued reading.
"Let's see. After leaving Adam, she became the mother of monsters and a succubus.
Just like I said," pointed out Mary.
"Sorry if I didn't want to trust Vampire, the Masquerade, for my information,"
I apologized testily.
"Just Wikipedia. It's pretty reliable,"
I defended. She arched an auburn eyebrow.
"Fine, I'm sorry I didn't believe you."
"Good," she said, nodding and smiling.
"As long as you remember that I'm always right, things will go smoothly for you, Mark."
Wisely, I chose not to dispute that.
"So, why would I need the Mother of Monsters' help?"
I asked, changing the subject. Her eyebrows furrowed.
"I don't know, maybe."
We talked for a while longer, going round in circles about theories and speculations. In the end, we gave up and I promised to keep the crystal with me at all times, just in case. Mary snuggled up against me and fell asleep without a problem. And it turned out she snored. It was soft, and kinda cute. As I grappled with dark thoughts, trying to sleep, I found her snores comforting. I wasn't alone in the dark. Mary would be there with me to face whatever danger the devil saw in my future. Sister Lee's Afra aboard Flight 341. For an hour, I fucked Sarai in the bathroom. I plowed the dildo into her sweet body in every position I could think of. Then she put on the strap-on and sat on the toilet, and I rode her hard while she sucked on my tits. She bent me over the sink and fucked me up the ass until I had an amazing orgasm. Finally, both of us satiated, we dressed, cleaned up and slipped out of the bathroom. The other two first-class passengers were still asleep, snoring loudly. We slipped into seats in the back of first class.
"You are such a wild one,"
she smiled, leaning over to kiss me on the lips.
"You have no idea,"
I grinned, my hand creeping beneath her skirt. She shuddered, giving a worried look as I wormed closer and closer to her hot pussy.
"You can't. Not out here."
"Sure I can," I purred, leaning over and kissing her lush lips. Her thighs parted for me and my hand found her wet panties.
"Ladies and gentlemen, we are starting to make our approach to Seattle-Tacoma International,"
the pilot announced over the intercom.
"Please put your seat backs to their full, upright position and fasten your seat belt."
"Damn," I muttered.
"I have to work,"
she whispered, my fingers probing her hot flesh.
"Fine, fine,"
I sighed, pulling my fingers out of her damn pussy. Then I brought them to my lips and savored her tangy musk. She stood up and I couldn't help smacking her ass.
"You're so bad,"
she giggled, then began rousing the two sleepers in first class. Another flight attendant bustled by, and my eyes fell on her ass. There was a few cuties on this flight. Sarai returned to me, leaning over and slipping her hand inside my bodice, squeezing my breast momentarily.
"Miss, please fasten your seatbelt,"
she said in a brisk, professional tone. When she pulled her hand out, she left something behind. She winked at me, and continued her work. I reached into my bodice and found a business card for the Seattle-Tacoma Holiday Inn. On the back was written,
"I have a 48-hour layover. If you want to have fun, ask for me at the front desk, Sarai."
I smiled to myself. Providence has laid the next step in my journey, and it was going to be a pleasant one. I was going to enjoy Sarai almost as much as I was going to enjoy exorcising the warlock behind the By Best incident.
Chapter 2.
"No, we have not identified the exact gas Mark Glasner used in the By Best. But magic, really? That's ridiculous. Next question."
Press conference held by FBI Special Agent Kip Peterson. June 8, 2013, Mark Glasner, South Hill, Washington. My sleep was a shallow and restless, plagued with a reoccurring nightmare,
I was surrounded by shadowy monsters, holding the crimson crystal in my hand. Mary pressed behind me as I tried to protect her. I would say the words, "Lilith, appear before me." But nothing would happen, and the monsters would swarm in. Most of the times, I would wake up, breathing hard. Mary would be snuggled tightly against me, somehow instinctively consoling me in her sleep, and I would drift back off to sleep to experience the nightmare all over again. I awoke, sunlight streaming through the large bedroom windows and the glass, sliding door that led out to a wooden balcony. I reached for Mary and found her side of the bed empty. I sat up, looking around for her. She wasn't in our bedroom. I rubbed sleep from my eye, and glanced at the clock. I groaned, it was 7:34 a.m. Damn, that's early. I thought about rolling back to sleep, but my mind kept drifting back to the nightmare. I tried to ignore my worries and go back to sleep, but it was too bright and my bladder was too full, so I stumbled towards the bathroom. Mary was painting out on the balcony, an easel propped up before her. I wanted to find out what she was painting, but I had to pee so bad. I stumbled into the bathroom. I braced one arm against the wall and relaxed my bladder, hoping I was pissing into the bowl. I was too tired to aim. After finishing, I fumbled with the shower controls. A hot shower always helped to wake me up. I leaned against the tiled walls of the shower, mauve and gray, and let the warm water pour over me. After several minutes of warm, luxurious bliss, I was finally feeling alive. I grabbed the soap and washed my body and then shampooed my hair. I stepped out of the shower and shaved my face and combed my hair. I slapped on some spicy aftershave Mary had bought me and spritzed some body spray in my armpits. Yesterday, Allison and Desiree had cleared all of Desiree and her husband's clothes and personal effects out of the master bedroom and replaced them with Mary and my clothing. I found some clean boxers, jeans, and a shirt. Dressed, I grabbed my phone and sent Allison a text before heading out to the master bedroom's balcony to see what Mary was up to. Mary stood before an easel and a large canvas, paintbrush in one hand and a wooden palette in the other, covered in smears of various colored paints. She was dressed in one of my white, buttoned-down shirts that fell down to mid-thigh on her. Mary's auburn hair was tied back and fell in a loose ponytail down her back. Her legs were long and gorgeous and she was barefoot, her feet small with cute little toes. She appeared to be painting Mount Rainier with the sun rising over the mountain's shoulder. "Hey, Mare," I greeted, sitting down on the love seat, admiring the way her shapely rear shifted about beneath the shirt tails as her hips swayed.
"Looking good."
"Morning, hun," Mary answered, not even looking at me. She was too fixated on her painting.
"Painting the mountain?" I asked.
God, what a stupid question. That's exactly what she was painting.
"It's looking pretty."
"Oh, thanks," she said absentmindedly.
"Any plans for today?"
She shook her head.
"No, not really." "What were you thinking?"
I started to speak when someone knocked on the bedroom door.
"Come in, Allison," I shouted.
Allison padded through the room. The pink-haired slut was dressed in a sexy, French maid's outfit she must have bought yesterday. The bodice of the dress was made of a transparent, black material that showed her hard nipples and the silver barbell that pierced each one. The skirt black, puffing out thanks to the many layers of lacy, ruffled lacy petticoats. It was short, barely covered her ass when she stood straight, and when she bent over her ass and pussy would be on display.
"Good morning, master."
"Good morning, mistress," Allison said politely as she stepped out onto the balcony.
"Good morning, slut,"
Mary said, still concentrating on her painting.
"Did you make the arrangements I asked you to?"
"Yesterday, I had slipped her a note before Mary and I had left the house."
"Yes, master, I made all the reservations and programmed the GPS,"
Allison answered.
"Good slut,"
I praised, and pulled my cock out.
"You've earned your reward."
Allison beamed, a hungry look in her brown eyes. She knelt before me and sucked my shaft into her warm mouth. I groaned, running a hand through her pink hair as her mouth expertly gave me pleasure. She was a great slut.
"What arrangements?"
Mary glanced behind, her curiosity fading into amusement when she saw Allison blowing me. She shook her head and rolled her green eyes.
"Is that a reward for her or you?"
"Both," I grinned. Allison was a pro at blowjobs. She had a tongue stud, and the metal was a small spot of hard pressure, rubbing across my dick.
"So what are these plans?"
Mary asked.
"An orca tour,"
I answered.
"And then dinner in Seattle, at the Space Needle. If you want to. Are you asking me out on a date while some slut sucks on your dick?"
"Oh yeah," I moaned as Allison bobbed her head on my shaft. I ran my hand through her bubblegum pink hair.
"And she not just any slut. She is our slut."
"Fair enough," Mary smiled.
"Okay, sounds fun. When do we leave?"
I looked down at Allison.
"Well, slut?"
Allison popped her mouth off my cock.
"You need to leave within the next 90 minutes or so,"
she answered, then sucked my dick back into her mouth.
"Well, then I need to get ready,"
Mary smiled.
"Slut, when you finish blowing Mark, clean up here and take everything to my studio,"
Allison moaned around my cock. I think she said.
"Yes, mistress."
Mary bent down and kissed me on the lips.
"Have fun,"
she said with a smile, stroked Allison's hair, and walked inside. I followed her ass with my eyes, enjoying her hips sway, before she disappeared into the bathroom. I closed my eyes, and enjoyed Allison's wet mouth and tongue on my cock. She was bobbing her head rapidly on my dick, the sensitive tip brushing the back of her throat. My balls tightened, and I came in her mouth.
"Thank you, master, for your yummy cum,"
Allison said, spunk staining her lips. Then she gently licked my cock's mushroom head, lapping out all my cum, then zipped my pants back up. I went downstairs and heard Desiree cooking in the kitchen. Desiree was an amazing cook, and I wondered what delicious food she was making for breakfast. My stomach rumbled, clearly just as eager for her cooking as I was. Still too tired to do anything constructive, I turned on the TV and saw a blurry, black and white image of my face from a security camera. I turned the volume up. "Authorities are asking for any information on this man," the news anchor reported. "Mark Glasner of Parkland, wanted in connection with the a series of strange events that happened in South Hill on Thursday. Besides the terrorist incident at the By Best, he is wanted for the robbery of a jewelry store in a local mall as well as several other strange occurrences. Eyewitness place him in the company of two young women who may be accomplices or victims of his strange gas. Call Crime Stoppers if you have any tips. If you see him, stay away. Authorities consider him quite dangerous." It still amused me that I was thought of as a terrorist, but I guess a gas attack was one way to explain how I made a store full of people fuck each other. A thought popped into my mind: could this be the danger the devil was warning me of? I shook my head. No, that couldn't be it. If any police showed up to arrest me, I would just tell them to let me go. And if Mary or Allison were arrested, I could just walk into the jail and order them free. The news then started talking about some stupid bullshit a dog did, so I turned it off. I stared at the blank screen of the TV and pulled out the red crystal, studying it. The gem appeared to be a perfectly ordinary crystal. It didn't burn with that crimson light like last night. It was cool in my hand, and smooth as glass. "Mireille?" I jumped. Desiree stood before me, staring worriedly. She was dressed in the same maid's outfit that Allison wore. Her large tits, covered by the sheer bodice, dangled in front of my face.
"Are you all right? You didn't answer me."
"Sorry, I was just thinking," I replied, slipping the red crystal back into my pocket, next to the engagement ring box. I needed to get my mind off what the devil said. I hoping to spend a fun and romantic day with Mary.
"What did you want, Desiree?"
"Breakfast is ready, Mireille," she answered.
"Shall I go let Mireille know?"
"Yeah, she's probably getting out of the shower now," I told her.
"Oh, hey, Desiree, what does, Mireille mean?"
"My king," Desiree answered, then a pained look frowned her face.
"Do you not like it?"
"No, no, I like it." I paused. "So Reina is queen," she said with a shy smile, then headed upstairs to find Mary.
"Tell her that,"
I called after. Mary would love being called queen. In the kitchen there was a small breakfast table, and laid on it were four plates with omelets and crispy toast. A pitcher of orange juice sat in the middle of the table along with several jars of various jams. On the counter, a pot of coffee steamed. I poured myself a cup, added cream, and sat down at the table. My stomach growled and I dug in. Mary Sullivan. I stepped out of the shower, humming in excitement. "Our first date.
Hello, Mireille,"
Desiree purred, holding out a towel to dry me with. "Master wants you to know that it means my queen. I hope you love it." I smiled, liking the sound of that.
"Well, your queen needs to be dried."
"Gladly." Was there more desire in her eyes than yesterday? "I sold my soul last night, and one of my wishes was for every woman to find me attractive." Of course, Desiree already found me attractive, so she wasn't a great test. The towel was soft as she dried my belly, working up to my freckled, perky tits. She smiled, her heavy breasts straining her slutty maid's outfit. A lock of black hair fell across her nut-brown cheek. She was so gorgeous. And I could do whatever I wanted to her. My nipples tingled as she toweled my breasts dry, circling my nub. I shuddered, my pussy growing damp, itching for relief. Watching Allison blow my boyfriend had primed the pumps, and Desiree's touch was working the handle, flooding juices down my thighs. I grabbed the towel, wrapping it around my wet, auburn hair. "I can air dry," I purred, seizing her shoulders and pushing her down.
"Yes, Mireille," she purred.
God, she sounded so sexy. Her tongue nuzzled the folds of my sex, licking through my flesh. I shuddered, loving the feel of my sex slave's tongue. I leaned against the shower door, letting her pleasure me. She nipped my clit, then dug her tongue deep inside me. My back arched, the glass shower door rattling.
"That's it," I gasped.
"You little slut. Eat me."
"Gladly."
Her dark eyes shone with passion, and her lips shone with my sticky juices. I gasped when she buried her lips back into my cunt, licking deep. Her hands wrapped around my waist, seizing my plump ass, squeezing me hard. I let my hands slide up and down my belly, caressing my skin, adding more sensations to the mix. My fingers found my breasts, circling my areolas. My nipples were hard, dusky pink. I pinched them.
"Yes,"
I moaned, the pleasure rising. "You love my cunt. It's the best tasting cunt, Mireille. I could feast on it all day." Her smile grew. "Just give the command." I shuddered at her abject submission. My orgasm rolled through me and my juices poured down her lips. I pinched my nipples harder as my sex slave drank down every drop of my juices, her tongue probing for more. I wanted to let her keep licking, but I needed to get ready for my date. Mark Glasner. Allison's ass peeked out from her skirt as she washed dishes at the kitchen sink. She was so inviting. I couldn't resist.
"Master,"
she moaned in excitement as I thrust into her, my jeans falling around my knees.
"You fucking slut.
You just couldn't resist teasing me."
"I couldn't,"
she moaned. "I love to make you hard, Master." Her moans and squeals made me pound her tight cunt harder. She worked her pussy, shifting her hips, fucking me back. My cock ached, massaged by her hot pussy. I could stay buried in my sex slave all day.
What do you think?
Mary asked. I didn't stop fucking my sex slave as I looked at my girlfriend over my shoulder. She twirled about in a yellow sundress decorated with red orchids, completely unfazed by the gasps and moans Allison made. I had definitely corrupted Mary. The dress had an ovoid, plunging neckline and a high skirt that fell to her mid-thigh. A pair of black, thigh-high, heeled boots complemented the outfit.
She had put on a light amount of makeup, transforming the natural beauty of her face into something amazing. She had a hint of blush on her cheeks, eyeliner that made her green eyes more brilliant, and a deep red lipstick that made her smiling lips more desirable.
You look gorgeous.
I groaned, savoring Allison's silky cunt.
I love those boots.
Mary laughed.
Are you almost finished? I don't want to be late. If you could make out with Desiree, that might help.
I said, hopeful.
Fine.
Mary said. Desiree beamed, her face shiny with what I hoped was Mary's pussy juices. My girlfriend grabbed Desiree, pulling the Latina slut to her. They kissed, Mary's tongue tasting her own juices on the sex slave's lips. Mary's hand slid into Desiree's bodice and pulled out a heavy, brown tit. Then, with a wink at me, she bent down and swirled her tongue around Desiree's nub.
Fuck, that's hot.
I moaned, burying into Allison's wonderful cunt. My body tensed, my cum shooting out in powerful pulses that sent bliss surging through my body.
Yes. Take my cum, slut. I love it, master.
Gasped Allison, squeezing her pussy down on my dick.
Good, let's go.
Mary said, impatient, and grabbed my arm. I barely had time to zip my pants up before Mary dragged me out of the kitchen. As the door swung close, I caught just a glimpse of Desiree kneeling down before Allison. The Latina slut's head dipped in, and she began drinking my cum straight out of Allison's pussy. They both were good sluts.
We're going to have so much fun on our date.
Mary giggled. Chapter 3. The living gods, delighting in each other's company, journey north to Anacortes. There, on a simple boat, they awaken many to true love. While the corrupt governments of man decried the gods as criminals, their actions proved their true intentions to set mankind free to love how and whom they wished. First Book of Vivian 3:1-2. Mary Sullivan. Excitement bubbled through me as I grabbed the small purse that matched the yellow sundress I wore. I had always wanted to go orca watching, and Mark, who may be the greatest boyfriend in the history of mankind, was treating me to it. I was bouncing in excitement. Mark smiled at me, his blue eyes twinkling. He grabbed his keys and the GPS, then held out his arm. I took it, pressing against him, as we walked out to his silver Mustang. Mark held up the door for me and I slid gracefully in, my skirt hiking up.
Naughty filly.
Mark chuckled. He had seen I wasn't wearing panties. It was so freeing not caring about that sort of thing. We could do what we like, and the intoxication of that idea made my pussy so wet. He rounded the car, hopped into the driver's seat, and plugged in the GPS. The engine roared to life, then Mark fiddled with the GPS.
Fuck, I didn't know we had to go that far, yep. Anacortes.
I beamed. It was north of Seattle and Everett, practically all the way to Canada. The GPS predicted it would take a little more than 2 hours for us to drive. Mark backed out of the driveway, the mechanical, feminine voice giving directions. Feeling naughty, I pulled my skirt up and lazily masturbated. I sighed as I slid my fingers up and down my vulva, savoring the pleasure that tingled through me.
That's a little distracting,
Mark said, his eyes continually drawn to my fingers slowly circling my clit.
Between you fucking Allison and having me make out with Desiree, I got horny.
So just suck it up, stud.
I'd prefer you to suck it up,
he leered. I gave a snort of laughter, then closed my eyes, rubbing a little harder on my clit. I writhed in the seat, biting my lower lip as passion tumbled through me. The scent of my arousal filled the car, sweet and spicy.
Oh yeah.
I moaned softly, inserting two fingers deep into my pussy while I ground my palm on my aching clit.
So naughty.
Mark groaned. I agreed, fucking my fingers faster and faster, my breath quickening. I was so close, my pussy primed to explode. I wanted Mark to watch me being naughty. My pleasure grew and grew, and then it spilled through me in wonderful waves of electricity. I writhed in my seat until my orgasm receded.
Now that you're finished, mind sucking my cock?
Mark asked. My eyes fluttered open and I glanced at his crotch. He was turgid.
Didn't you tell me not to do that again? As I recall, you almost wrecked the car when you came. Fine, I'll pull over. We can't be late.
I complained.
You'll just have to wait. Come on, Mare, I'll be quick.
I giggled.
You sure know how to sweet talk a gal, Mark.
I love you. He smiled, his grin was so boyish and irresistible, then he reached out and stroked my bare thigh.
You're so beautiful and desirable. I'm powerless before your stunning beauty. You are a goddess, and I only wish to shower you with my affections.
So sweet. I gently rubbed my swollen vulva, teasing my lips again as a new desire was kindled by his words.
MHH, you mean, shower me with your warm, sticky affections. That sounds so hot.
I slipped a finger into my pussy, fucking myself slowly this time. He reached down with one hand and unzipped his jeans, pulling out his cock.
See how strong my devotion is. Look at how hard my desire to worship you is.
My eyes were drawn to his bulge.
Oh, so big and hard.
I moaned. I licked my lips. He was so horny, and it really wasn't fair to leave him hanging for 2 hours.
I reached over and grasped his cock, stroking his throbbing shaft twice, then slid down and cupped his balls.
Yes, you are full of thick, creamy offerings.
And I wanted it. I leaned over and sucked his cock into my mouth, feeling like such a wanton slut. I loved it. I would be Mark's wanton slut forever. My tongue rubbed around his sensitive tip, bringing a moan from his lips. His hand stroked my auburn hair, and I savored the salty taste and the wet noises of my sucking mouth made.
Oh, fuck!
He gasped. Here comes your offering, my goddess! His cock twitched, and then my mouth was awash in salty cum. I drank it down, savoring his gift. I loved his cum. Two more thick squirts filled my mouth, and I swallowed them as quick as I could. I sat up, licking my salty lips, and furiously frigged my clit, itching for my own orgasm.
Oh, that was so delicious.
I moaned.
It was warm and salty. Fuck, fuck.
MMHH, your offering ran thick down my throat. I bucked on the seat, coming on my slim fingers. The passion was intense, my nerves gasping in delight. A puddle formed on my seat, the wet leather sticking to my ass. I could smell my excitement, spicy and sweet. Having a woman's mouth on your cock is the only way to drive. Mark laughed, shoving his cock back into his jeans. Smiling happily, delighting in the afterglow of a second cum, I said,
Well, I'm just glad that you didn't get us killed.
Then I gave him a firm glance. And don't expect me to do that again.
It's not safe, Mark.
He flashed me that boyish grin. Mark Glasner. Mary had her mouth around my cock again. Despite her protests, this was the third blowjob she had given me on the drive up to Anacortes. It was easy to get them. I just stroked her thighs, gave her a few truthful compliments, and then slipped my hand between her legs and fingered her pussy. Her face would flush and her nipples would harden, and then she was more than happy to suck my cock.
Oh, Mare!
I groaned.
You're the best woman in the world.
Recalculating, the GPS said.
Shit.
I was so into the blowjob, I didn't take the exit from I-5 onto Highway 536.
Oh, well.
I stroked her auburn hair, savoring the way she ran her tongue around my cock before bobbing down to engulf my entire shaft.
That's it, Mare!
I groaned.
So good.
My naughty filly knows how to suck cock. She drew back up and I erupted another load into her hungry lips. She drank it down as eagerly as the last two times. She was a cum addict, and always seemed happy to make me orgasm to get more spunk. I was going to owe her big time, and I was looking to reciprocate. She sat up and glared at me, licking up the last of the cum.
You missed the exit.
Sorry. I grinned, taking the next one, following the GPS directions to get turned around.
But you're just so amazing. This is why we shouldn't do this.
Mary protested.
You know you loved it.
A grin split her face, dimples appearing on her freckled cheeks.
Yeah, I did.
30 minutes later, we rolled into Anacortes, a beautiful city resting on the northern peninsula of Fidalgo Island with the gorgeous Puget Sound on one side and forested hills on the other. We drove through the picturesque scenery, a classic American fishing town turned tourist destination. We passed old buildings, lovingly maintained, and pristine parks full of happy people. The salty smell of the Sound wafted through the car as we drove by docks upon docks crowded with all shapes of boat. Small boats, yachts, fishing trawlers, and more. When we finally reached the dock where the Sound Explorer 2, a 100-foot-long white boat with two decks was moored, we had 15 minutes to spare. Mary turned heads in her sexy sundress and thigh-high, black boots as we boarded the ship. And it wasn't just the men who stared, it seemed that every woman who saw her eyed her lustfully. Mary enjoyed every minute of the attention. I guess Mary's wish that all women find her sexually attractive was working. As we made our way to the bow, women kept brushing against her and smiling at her. Finally, we reached the bow, Mary stood at the rails and I stood behind her, hugging her as she bounced excitedly as the ship slipped its mooring and pushed out from the dock. Mary's ass wiggling against my cock had a predictable effect. Mary felt the hardness and whispered in a husky voice.
I'm not wearing panties.
And with your powers. She trailed off, as I quickly unzipped my pants, and she felt my hard cock poking her pussy.
Such a naughty filly.
I moaned into her ear as I slid my cock up inside her wet pussy. She gasped.
Yes, I am.
And then she squeezed her cunt about my cock as I gently fucked her. The boat pulled out into the Puget Sound, steaming to the northwest towards the San Juan Islands. The ocean air wafted over us as I pumped in and out of my girlfriend's wonderful pussy. She sighed, pressing back, her pussy squeezing down.
You have such a pretty dress,
a buxom woman said, leaning up against the railing. I could see desire dancing in the woman's arms, her hand casually reaching out to touch Mary's. My girlfriend smiled, her pussy tightening on my cock as the woman caressing her fingers. A shudder passed through Mary, her hand reaching out to touch the woman's dress, stroking up to her low-cut blouse.
Thanks.
Mary smiled.
And I love yours.
She squeezed the woman's ample breast.
It really complements your figure.
Purred the woman, a smile growing on her lips.
I'm so glad I wore it then.
She leaned in and Mary's hand slipped into her bodice, cupping her breast.
I didn't know it would be perfect for this cruise. What's going on, Jenny?
A man asked, staring with suspicion.
Nothing, dear.
Sighed the woman.
I'm just chatting with Mary.
My girlfriend's hand pulled out Jenny's breast, exposing a pale, rounded top by a dark red nipple.
I'm just chatting with Mary.
Jenny moaned, Mary pinching her nipple. The man walked up.
The fuck is going on?
He shouted, grabbing his wife.
Calm down, I commanded him. Your wife's just having some fun. Don't worry about it. Watch the sea until we dock.
The man blinked, his head whipping around to stare at the sea.
Let's keep talking.
Mary smiled, pulling Jenny closer, her hand sliding down to disappear beneath Jenny's skirt. The woman's eyes widened as Mary's hand worked between her legs.
You like it when I touch you there?
Oh, yes, panted Jenny. I've never had a woman touch me like that. Mary's pussy squeezed on mine, her hips pushing back into my thrust.
Then you'll love it when I do this.
Jenny let out a squeal, her head tossing back, black curls brushing her shoulders.
Oh, yes. I love that. Is everything all right?
A crewman said, dressed in a white shirt and shorts. Then he saw Jenny's exposed tit.
Ma'am, you can't. There is nothing wrong with someone having sex or being naked on the ship.
I ordered, thrusting harder into Mary, pleasure shuddering through me. Others were watching, gasping in shock. I loved it. I was at the center of their attention.
No, sir.
The crewman nodded.
Carry on.
I will, purred Mary. Then Jenny gasped, her body shaking. What did Mary do to her?
You like that, slut?
Uh-huh.
Are you going to come on my fingers like a dirty whore?
Yes. Mary's dirty talk excited me. She could be so filthy. I loved her so much. I slid my hands up her side, squeezing her breasts as I fucked her. She was so hot and silky. The perfect woman. I nuzzled her neck as she fingered the slut.
That's it. Come, slut, hissed Mary. Let me feel your pussy explode on my fingers.
Jenny shuddered.
I'm going to.
Oh, yes. That's it.
Oh, Mary.
Thank you. Thank you. Her shouts echoed, drawing more attention. Mary shuddered in my arms, her pussy writhing about my cock as she came hard. I held her, savoring her pussy. I buried into her, reveling in her climaxing sheath.
Mare.
I groaned and my balls boiled over. Pulse after pulse of cum shot out of me, rippling through my body. My naughty filly. She shuddered, flashing a smile over her shoulder, then held up her fingers sticky with the woman's tart juices. I grinned, licking her fingers, savoring the treat.
Mary Sullivan.
There was something so erotic about Mark's cock fucking into my pussy. Cum dripped out of me. He had already fired several blasts of cum into my pussy, our combined juices trickling down my thighs around his cock. Another woman walked up. Every time I finished fingering one, another was walking up, eager to have a nice cum. She was Japanese, her eyes downcast as she stopped before me, not looking me in the eyes. Do you want me to finger you, slut? I purred, Mark fucking me a little harder. My pussy burned, clenching about his girth. She didn't answer. I gripped her chin with my pussy-stained fingers, forcing her to look me in the eyes. Do you want me to finger you, slut?
Hi.
She nodded.
Yes, please.
Her voice was thick with her accent, but so lovely. I stroked her cheek, smearing pussy juices, then leaned over and licked them up. She shuddered.
Good.
I whispered in her ear. I'm going to make you come so hard. A Japanese man held a camcorder, filming us. He had a big grin on his face as I kissed his wife or girlfriend on the lips, thrusting my tongue into her mouth. She moaned into me, kissing me back while I slid my hand down her body, reaching beneath her skirt. Her panties were gone and her pussy was covered by a thick, silky bush. She stiffened and gasped into my lips as I shoved two fingers into her tasty cunt.
Finger the slut, Mare.
Mark groaned, fucking me harder. I did, working those two fingers in and out of her tight pussy. She shuddered again, swaying as her pleasure roared through her. Her tongue thrust into my mouth, kissing me with such passion. I played with it, thrusting a third finger into her, stretching her out.
That's so hot, Mare.
His hand drifted down my stomach, pressing between my thighs. I need to finger you. I shuddered, hot passion knifing through me as he stroked my aching clitoris. My pussy convulsed about his cock, squeezing more cum and pussy juices out around his dick. I moaned into the Japanese slut's mouth, my orgasm burning hot through me. I broke the kiss.
Oh, Mark. You wonderful stallion.
Oh, fuck. The Japanese woman beamed at me. He give you good cum?
The best.
I moaned, then gave her a saucy grin, curling my fingers inside her. It's your turn. I searched for her G-spot along her silky walls. Her small breasts rose and fell, her slanted eyes widening. I found it. I massaged hard, attacking the bundle of nerves. A gasp escaped her lips, her body trembled.
That's it.
I cooed as she neared her orgasm.
Come for me, whore. Come on my finger, you nasty, lesbian slut.
Mark slammed his cock hard into my dripping cunt. A nasty, wet, squelching sound filled the air as he pounded me. I loved it. I massaged the slut's G-spot harder, pushing my hips back into my boyfriend's thrusts.
I come.
The Japanese woman moaned in her thick, broken English.
You make me come good.
She shuddered and moaned, her eyes squeezing shut. I leaned over, kissing her hard, savoring her passion as Mark's cock erupted into me. He moaned my name, burying his cock into the very depths of my pussy.
You wonderful woman.
He sighed as I broke the kiss. The Japanese woman stumbled away as I ripped out my fingers from her twat. Her husband pushed her against the railing, still filming, as he fucked her with his small dick. I held my fingers up and Mark licked the woman's juices off of them.
Does she taste good?
I moaned.
Does my lesbian slut taste sweet?
So sweet. Mark groaned, nuzzling my neck. We were both breathless and sweaty as he held me.
The cool, sea breeze felt like heaven on my hot skin. I looked out at the blue waves of the Puget Sound, smiling with delight. Today was amazing. I was so glad I stayed with Mark and made my pact. I gasped, pointing excitedly. Look! Out in the waves, three orcas broke the surface. I forgot all about the depraved sex we had been enjoying as I watched these beautiful, majestic animals swimming through the water, held in Mark's arms. The whales were black with white bellies, and swam with speed and grace, knifing through the waves.
You're right, Mare, Mark whispered. They are romantic to watch. Especially when you're here with me.
I smiled, his arms tightening around me. Joy burst inside me, warm and hot, as wonderful as the orgasm he had just given me. I love you so much. Chapter 4. While the living gods were spreading their message of love upon the waters of the Puget Sound, they took two lesbians as their sluts, Chantel and Lana. Both were lovely to behold. But despite bathing in the gods' love, treachery bred in their hearts, and they caused great sadness to the living gods. The Gospel of April 720. Svetlana, Lana, Paquette Halab.
Aren't they a wild pair?
I whispered to Chantel, my new wife. She was a slim brunette with the face of an angel.
She is beautiful.
Chantel answered in her sexy, French-Canadian lilt. We were on our honeymoon and instead of whale watching, I had been staring at the sexy redhead. I loved my wife, and I couldn't believe that I found a woman more beautiful and graceful than my Chantel. But there she was.
We should go say hi.
I purred, my pussy itching in my panties. I hugged my wife tighter.
What do you say? So we can be fingered like all the other women? Doesn't that sound fun?
I arched my eyebrows. I know how much you like to have fun. Chantel and I had our share of threesomes. There was always a dancer at Deja Vu that wanted to have some after-hours delights. And I always needed satisfaction after a night working as a stripper. Between exposing all to the horny guys, and watching my sexy coworkers including my hot wife strip and tease on stage, I was a horny mess that needed satisfaction. That's how we met. I had fallen in love the first time I had seen her step out on stage. Chantel moved with such grace. My wife looked at me.
I guess we can have fun.
Then a naughty smile crossed her lips.
All those other women really seem to be enjoying themselves. That's my naughty wife.
I leaned in, giving her a kiss, then took her hand and we walked across the ship to the redhead. I barely noticed the guy fucking her. He paled in comparison to the majesty of her. Mark Glasner.
Aren't the orcas magnificent?
Cooed a woman with a sultry, French accent. A brunette woman, with short, boyish haircut, slid up to the railing beside us. She was a short, with the graceful, slim body of a dancer. She was dressed in black, skinny jeans that hugged her hips and ass and a maroon blouse with a deep, V-neck. A second woman, tall with dirty blonde hair and blue highlights, stepped behind the French woman and hugged her. She was a curvy beauty in a lacy, white blouse and pleated black skirts that showed off gorgeous, tanned legs. Both wore matching diamond wedding rings.
I know,
agreed Mary. Her cunt gave a pleasant squeeze on my cock. Mary was getting excited by the two women I knew I was. I drew my hard cock through Mary's cunt and thrust back in.
So beautiful and exotic. I'm Lana,
the blonde woman said with a slight Slavic accent. She had the round face and prominent cheekbones of an Eastern European.
And this is my wife, Chantel. We're on our honeymoon.
Chantel purred, her eyes flashing with excitement.
Congratulations. I'm Mary and this is my boyfriend, Mark.
Then Mary leaned in and kissed Chantel on the lips. Lana giggled, licking her lips. Mary released Chantel and then kissed Lana on the lips. Mary's pussy tightened on mine as she made out with the blonde.
You are a divine kisser,
panted Chantel.
Thanks.
Mary smiled, breaking the kiss. Lana swayed, licking her lips.
Oh yes. Just divine. I love your accent,
I said to Chantel, my eyes appreciating her gorgeous figure.
What part of France are you from?
Saint Jerome in Quebec, she lauded.
But I live in DuPont now. We live in DuPont,
Lana said, pouting.
Sorry.
Chantel kissed her wife.
You're forgiven.
Lana caressed her wife's face, then said,
last year we bought this cute little house. It's very cozy.
Chantel smiled wickedly.
MMHH, very cozy.
She cooed and wiggled her shapely ass against her wife's groin.
So how'd you two meet?
Mary asked.
We met dancing,
Lana asked.
We both work at Deja Vu in Lakewood. And one night Chantel was on stage and I was working the room, you know, looking for a guy who'd want to buy a lap dance. When we made eye contact, it was like, electricity shot between us. As Chantel danced on stage, it was like she was dancing only for me. When we got off work, I took her home and we made love for hours.
You're strippers?
I blurted. Chantel gave me a frost stare.
Exotic dancers. Oh, sorry,
I said, taken aback.
I think that's so romantic how you met,
Mary said, and slid her hand across the railing and caressed Chantel's arm. Chantel eyed us up and down.
Are you fucking her right now?
She asked with a naughty smile.
Just enjoying the sweet embrace of my girlfriend,
I answered slyly. Chantel laughed and was about to say something when Lana excitedly pointed.
Oh, look at her jump.
An orca had burst momentarily out of the dark blue waters of the sound. Lana hugged Chantel excitedly, rocking her wife about in her embrace. Mary kept stroking Chantel's arm, dragging a finger lightly up and down her silky skin. Chantel smiled at her and eyed Mary lustfully with her hazel eyes.
You two are wild, Chantel confided. Lana and I enjoyed watching you finger that Asian beauty. I would love to finger you, Chantel, Mary said as she caressed the French-Canadian's arm.
Hey,
Lana protested with mock outrage. That's my wife. There was an excited twinkle in Mary's eyes and I knew what she desired. I grabbed Lana's arm and pulled out of Mary's pussy.
Hey, Lana, let's me and you have some fun over here.
Your wife is in some very capable hands. So relax and let me do what I want and I'll make sure you enjoy it. Lana didn't struggle as I pulled her a few feet away. Mary and Chantel kissed, their lips smacking, heat growing between them. They are so hot. She moaned as I rubbed her plump ass. I need some of that loving. My pussy is so wet.
Don't worry,
I whispered in Lana's ears. I'm going to fuck you hard and you're going to love it. Lana shivered and I captured her juicy lips in a kiss. Then I spun her about, rubbing my sticky cock on the back of her skirt. Then I lifted her hem up, exposing her curvy ass covered by powder blue, lacy panties. I pulled those off the cheeks of her golden brown ass. It was sexy seeing no tan lines on a woman's ass and I imagined this voluptuous woman lying naked on the side of the pool, glistening with oil. I slid my cock between her legs and found the wet, shaved lips of her pussy. I stroked along her slippery groove, savoring the feel of her silky labia on my shaft. Then I pulled back, guiding my tip through her folds, and shoved into her wet tunnel.
Oh, fuck.
Lana moaned, her cunt squeezing pleasantly on my cock.
That's nice.
Oh, it's been a few days since I had a cock in me. Chantel shot Lana a look, then gasped as Mary yanked down Chantel's jeans and bright red thong down her hips. They tangled about her ankles, and my girlfriend shoved the woman's ass against the rails and tripped her, fucking her clit hard into Chantel's.
Oh, yes.
Moaned Chantel, writhing on Mary's hips as Mary sucked on her neck. Both newlywed lesbians gasped and panted as they were fucked. Lana's pussy squeezed about my cock, her hips pushing back into my thrusts. The blonde reached out and captured Chantel's hand. The lesbian brides gripped each other tight as their pleasures built. I pounded her hard, her pussy milking my cock. Lana threw her head back, moaning as an orgasm rocked through her body. She got off quick. I slid my hands up, squeezing her heavy tits as I pounded her.
Fuck me, fuck me.
Lana moaned. Flood my cunt, stud. I'm going to flood your lesbian cunt with so much cum. I growled in her ear, pinching her nipples through her dress. She shuddered, another rippling orgasm rolled through her. Her pussy massaged me, milking my balls, eager to get my cum. My thrust grew hard as the tip of my cock itched, begging for another release. My balls tightened, my orgasm building.
Shit.
Here it comes, slut.
Yes.
She gasped. I buried into her and my cum exploded out of me, flooding her warm pussy.
Fuck, that was nice.
I gasped, kissing Lana's neck, breathing hard. Chantel and Mary were writhing, grinding their pussies together.
You gonna come for me?
Mary hissed into Chantel's ear. Is your dirty cunt gonna come on my pussy? Are you gonna come on another woman while your wife watches?
Yes, oh yes.
Chantel moaned. Watch me, Lana. Watch me come. Lana squeezed her hand. Come, cupcake. Mary and Chantel came together, bucking wildly against each other. I'm coming, Lana.
Oh, it's so sweet.
Satiated, Mary broke her embrace with Chantel and stumbled next to me, wrapping an arm around my waist. Lana and Chantel embraced passionately and kissed. Now it was Lana's turn to trip Chantel.
Can we keep them?
Mary asked as the lesbians came.
Sure, Mare.
I told her, liking the idea of having a pair of married lesbians for sex slaves.
Lana, Chantel, you're going to be our sluts forever.
Really? Lana excitedly asked, breaking her kiss with her wife.
Yes.
I nodded.
You'll do whatever nasty, depraved thing that Mary or I tell you to.
Yes, master. Chantel purred in her sexy accent. Mary and I stood, arm in arm, and watched the orcas play in the Puget Sound accompanied by the sounds of passion from about the ship. The orcas were magnificent beasts, graceful and powerful. When the orcas disappeared beneath the waves, and the Sound Explorer 2 turned to head back to Anacortes, Mary turned and kissed me.
Thank you,
she whispered, tears beating her eyes.
This was magical.
I caressed her face.
It was,
I answered, cupping her chin, and kissed her. Doug Allard, Tacoma, Washington.
This is the guy you're following?
Tina asked, peering over my shoulder. I was at home, working in my office. I had finally nailed down who this Mark guy was. I had been working a very routine case, following a suspected cheating wife for Brandon Fitzsimmons, and it had grown weird yesterday. Desiree Fitzsimmons was clearly cheating. And with several individuals. As I dug into their identities, I stumbled onto something, well, that I couldn't easily explain. It was like magic. Last night, before going to bed, I set a program to trawl through Facebook, searching every photo, trying to match it to the surveillance pics I had shot of the mysterious Mark. 15 minutes ago, I had a hit on a Facebook page belonging to a Sandy Glassner.
My son Mark at his graduation,
the post had read.
Been going through old photos.
Mark Glassner didn't have his own Facebook page, and I couldn't find his phone number in the white pages. Not that unusual, a lot of young people these days didn't bother with landlines. But his parents were a different matter. Sandra Glassner listed her spouse as David, and there were 2 David Glassners and 3 D. Glassners in the phone book. Those were good odds.
Yeah.
I nodded, turning to my wife. She had a tray with a sandwich on it.
Why, do you recognize it?
He's on the news.
The cops are after him.
Really?
I asked. I had been so busy I hadn't had time to watch any TV. I grabbed the sandwich and took a big bite pastrami, spicy mustard, and a crisp dill pickle.
Thanks.
I smiled.
So why is he on the news?
He's behind that By Best incident. All those people had an orgy because of his gas. I had heard about the terrorist attack. It made a lot more sense if Mark was involved with his strange ability to make people what he said.
Do they know it was actually gas?
That's what the authorities say, why? I swallowed, looking at my wife.
This is going to sound weird, but the guy's strange. He can do things.
Like what?
Things.
Tina gave me a frown.
That's not helpful.
All right. Yesterday, I was on the phone with Mike, a guy who had a connection to Mark. Well, Mark walked in and just made the guy do things.
Weird things.
With a gun?
No.
He just told the guy something and the guy obeyed like he had been hypnotized. Amusement glinted in her eyes.
Are you pulling a prank on me?
No. I explained it all to her. Brendan's sudden, abrupt behavior, Mark shacking up with his wife and two other women, Cynthia and Vivian's new love, how Mark had traded his shitty car for a brand new Mustang, and Mike and Minnie's bizarre, cuckolding relationship.
That's unbelievable. You're the one that just told me he made an entire store full of people have an orgy. How else would you describe that?
She sat down in a chair beside me.
Oh God, Doug. This is serious. You need to call the police.
And what?
Mark could just command them to walk away.
What are you gonna do?
Find out what the hell is going on.
Oh, Doug.
She sighed. If this guy is really so dangerous, why don't you just walk away?
I don't know. I sighed. I couldn't really explain it. There was just something so wrong about what this guy was doing.
Brandon's paying me well, and I'll be careful and keep my distance. It's not like the guy's actually killed anyone or hurt anyone. He just makes you do weird things.
A smile suddenly played on Tina's lips.
You just want to be part of an orgy.
Yep. I laughed.
You got me.
Humor had always been Tina's shield from my job. It started when we first dated and I worked the beat as a Tacoma police officer.
I got some phone calls to make.
I have a line on his family, and I want to learn more about this guy.
Okay. I trust you'll know when to pull out.
I nodded, squeezing her shoulder for reassurance.
It'll be fine. I'm being careful.
Chapter 5.
Fiona Cavanaugh had a unique place in the tyrant's history. Despite her many crimes, the people of Seattle raised a statue in her and her wife's honor on the very ground that the Space Needle once stood. The irony may have been lost on those who weren't aware that Fiona herself became the tyrant's thrall at that very spot. Excerpt from The History of the Tyrant's Theocracy by Tina Allard. Fiona Cavanaugh, Seattle, Washington.
Next weekend's going to be great.
Hank laughed, his hands drumming on his steering wheel. I smiled at my boyfriend, pushing a lock of strawberry blonde hair off my cheek, tucking it back behind my ear.
Yeah.
We were going camping next weekend, and Hank couldn't stop talking about it. I wasn't nearly as eager to go, but seeing Hank this excited would be worth the inconvenience. Plus, last week he had suffered in silence when I dragged him from garage cell to garage cell. I owed it to him.
You're going to love it, Fiona.
He continued.
The fresh mountain air is amazing. And it's so beautiful. And I know this spot. It's very private.
I blushed. My face felt as red as my hair.
How private?
There's this beautiful spring, clear as crystal, right next to it. No one else knows about it.
Think of all the fun we can have.
I can't wait.
I guess I should bring a bathing suit then, huh?
Nah.
It's just extra weight.
We're backpacking in.
Right.
My skimpy bathing suit is going to be too much weight. His grin was naughty.
It could be the straw that breaks the proverbial camel's back.
So what will I wear to swim in?
We'll be out in nature, Fiona.
Clothes aren't part of nature.
So we're going to be nudist?
Only while swimming. An excited flush burned through me.
Is swimming the only thing we're going to do in the spring?
Nope. I laughed at his brazen answer.
It's gonna be excellent, Fiona.
He grinned, still drumming away on the steering wheel as we crawled through the terrible traffic around the Seattle center. My eyes glanced up at the Space Needle rising like a white spire above the center, and my mood evaporated. It was going to be another long night. My feet still ached from working a double shift at the Sky City restaurant last night. We finally made it through the traffic and I gave my boyfriend a kiss and climbed out.
Have a good one.
He called, then pulled back into the nightmare that was Seattle traffic on a Saturday evening.
Hi, Fiona.
Shio, one of the other waitresses, said as she walked up from the bus stop. She was a petite, Chinese girl with shoulder-length, straight, black hair. I had always thought of Asian women as being flat-chested, and then I met Shio. Her tits looked almost obscenely large on her small frame, pressing against the white, button-down blouses we wore with our black slacks and white, waist aprons.
Hey, ready for another killer shift?
She made a face.
Tourist season is just starting, too. This is going to be a long summer.
Yeah. I groused.
Well, I'm going to miss next weekend.
Right, camping with Hank? We reached the elevator and I hit the up button.
Yep.
Getting away from here for 4 whole days. I sighed.
Heavenly.
The Space Needle's elevator dinged and a flood of tourists in casual shirts and shorts, cameras slung around their necks and visors on their heads, poured out. We let the tide go by, then we stepped into the elevator and hit the restaurant's floor.
Oh, hold the elevator!
Corina shouted.
Shio stuck out her arm and caught the closing door. Our coworker ran up, her doll's face flushed. She stepped in, pulling out a handkerchief to dab at her sweaty forehead and brush her black hair out her face. She had such lovely, porcelain white skin. I was afflicted with freckles and so envied her flawless skin. Thanks. She smiled as the elevator took us up. My shift starts in 5 minutes. I would have been in so much trouble if missed this one.
Traffic?
I asked her.
Yes.
She groaned. It's so bad tonight. Something must be going on at the Seattle Center. When isn't there something going on next door? Shio asked, and we all shared a laugh. The elevator reached the restaurant's level, and we piled out.
Hey, Vespasian.
I smiled as we passed the maitre d'. A smile appeared on his lips, graced with a pencil mustache, and he said,
Bonsoir, ladies. We are going to have a great night, yes?
Of course, Vespasian. Shio laughed, rolling her eyes.
Good, good. It will be very busy.
We slipped back into the kitchen to drop off our stuff in the small, employee break room, more of a closet really, and put on our white aprons. Corina clocked in first, darting back out into the restaurant while Shio and I sat down.
My feet are already killing me.
I sighed. Shio opened her mouth to speak, but was interrupted by George, a skinny cook, sticking his head in.
Everyone needs to be out front. We're not on the clock yet.
I protested.
Mr. Amat's orders.
He shrugged.
Clock on.
I glanced at Shio and she raised her eyebrows and we punched our time cards. The entire staff was gathered in front of a young man with intense, blue eyes. To my complete astonishment, the diners were filing out and Vespasian and Mr. Amat didn't seem to care.
Wait staff front and center.
The man ordered. His voice was so deep and commanding. It seemed to reach inside me and before I knew it, I was standing in front of him, his eyes roaming across our bodies.
The male waiters are dismissed for the night. Go home.
Aaron and Tom shrugged and headed out the door. They didn't even head back to the break room to gather their belongings. Who was this man?
Women strip. Like hell.
I declared. He just smiled at me. What a disgusting pig. Then I realized my fingers had half unbuttoned my blouse. What was wrong with me?
Women, you are happy to be naked and do whatever I tell you.
I couldn't wait to get my clothes off. I would feel so much better once I was naked. I smiled at him, joy surging inside me as I obeyed. His eyes were appreciative as my blouse came off, and his grin broadened when I unhooked my bra and revealed my round breasts.
Very nice. Mayor and I are going to have a great dinner.
Desiree Fitzsimmons, South Hill, Washington.
Holy shit!
Allison gasped when she stepped into the dining room, her eyes widening as she saw the candles twinkling on the table between our two plates. The table was set so we would be sitting at the corners, Allison at the head, me to her left. The look on her face was so beautiful. There was a zest to the young woman that was infectious. Her grin was broad, and her brown eyes gleamed. She was such a vibrant woman from her pink hair, her pierced nipples, and that delightfully naughty tattoo on her pubic mound.
Come on in.
It read with an arrow pointing right at her juicy pussy. I had enjoyed letting my tongue come inside her. I smiled at her, pleased that I could give her this surprise. I had always been attracted to energetic women, like Diane at the gym, and I had never met a more energetic, or enthusiastic, woman than young Desiree. At 19, the girl knew more about making love than I did. And I had almost a decade of experience on her. With me Ray and me Raina gone for the weekend, we had been left to our own devices. And Allison had treated me to a marathon fuck session that had started in the living room and ended up in the shower. And now I wanted to repay her the wonderful orgasm she gave me with a nice dinner.
Are you trying to seduce me?
Allison purred as I held out the chair at the head of the table for her. She reached out and squeezed my large breast through the flimsy bodice of the sexy maid's outfits we wore.
Because you don't have to try hard.
Her touch sent a flutter of warmth through me that ended at my pussy.
No.
I grinned.
I just wanted to thank you, me Serenita.
Serenita?
My little mermaid.
I answered.
Because you are as beautiful and energetic as one.
Allison blushed. I didn't think the young woman knew how. She worked her jaw for a moment then said,
Thank you. Aye, that was sweet. You seem surprised? Well, I don't get a lot of compliments.
I arched an eyebrow. She laughed wickedly.
Okay, I get a lot dirty compliments, but nothing so nice. I'm just a dirty girl and...
Sadness churned my heart, and I reached out and squeezed her hand. Who had hurt this young woman?
It's okay.
She brightened up.
It is. I finally found my master, and have a beautiful mistress, and a wonderful slut sister to spend my time with. It's what I've always wanted. I never knew this is what I wanted.
I told her.
But I am so happy they chose us.
Allison turned to the food, a delightful pasta topped with Parmesan and a garlic sauce, accompanied by a fresh salad topped with vinegar and olive oil.
Looks wonderful. You outdid yourself again, Desiree.
I flushed.
Thank you, Miss Serenita. I'm so starving. We really worked up an appetite this afternoon.
She giggled wickedly.
My pussy's still a little sore. Maybe I should kiss it after dinner? Absolutely.
Allison grinned and took a big bite of her salad.
Wine?
She nodded.
Don't tell anyone. I'm not 21 yet. Your secret is safe with me?
I giggled, pouring her a lovely Pinot Grigio. My husband kept a well-stocked wine cellar, even if he had absolutely no taste for wine.
To a magical weekend,
Allison declared, holding up her glass.
I plan on fucking you in every inch of this house.
Our glasses tinked.
That sounds wonderful. I hope I can keep up with you.
I think you can.
You didn't have any problems this afternoon.
She flashed a dazzling smile at me. She was such an enchanting creature. She took another bite, moaning in orgasmic delight at the taste of my pasta, her eyes fluttering and her chest heaving. I licked my lips, and I was suddenly hungry for other delights.
What are you doing?
Allison asked knowingly as I slid down to the floor.
Are you skipping the main course and going right to dessert?
I don't want to ruin my appetite for the wonderful, creamy delight you brought to the table. I spread her thighs, her pussy a dark shadow beneath her short, black skirt. I could smell her arousal, sweet like honey. I kissed down her sleek thigh, her musk growing stronger and stronger, making my head swim even more than the wine had.
Eating a delicious meal while having my delicious pussy eaten. What a wonderful dinner you set for me, Desiree.
You're welcome, Miss Irenita. My lips found her pussy. Such wonderful flavors coated my tongue. She shivered, hips shifting as sudden pleasure burst through her. I explored her folds, delighting in giving this exciting creature pleasure. More honey leaked out, and I gathered them with my tongue, swishing Allison's honey through my mouth and savoring the wonderful flavor of a woman's passion.
Oh, Desiree.
Allison giggled.
I think you really love the dessert I brought. It's only the second best pussy in the world.
I answered. The first better be mistress's.
Of course.
I laughed, then wiggled my tongue deep into her hole.
I don't mind coming in second place to her.
As beautiful as Allison was, and she was one of the most gorgeous women I had ever bedded, the slut couldn't hold a candle to Mirena. When I had seen Mirena stepping out of the shower this morning, I had thought a goddess had come down from heaven. She had been a pretty woman before, but something had happened to make her stunning.
Work that tongue in my cunt!
Allison groaned.
So deep. You love my pussy! You're gonna be my pussy slut for the rest of the weekend. Whenever I'm not their slut, I'll be yours.
I promised.
I love your cunt.
Good! Allison gasped.
And I'll be your lesbo slut! We'll be whores together.
Wonderful.
Don't stop licking me, slut.
I went back to pleasing her, eager to get this beautiful creature off. I pushed my lips as deep into Allison's pussy as I could, Allison's labia clinging wet and silkily to my cheeks, and worked my tongue in and out like a little cock. My nose kept brushing Allison's sensitive clit as I worked my tongue, bringing a low moan every time I bumped the little nub.
Oh yes. I'm gonna drown you in pussy cream.
So wonderful.
Keep working that tongue inside me, slut.
I did, lapping and sucking and pleasuring her. Her moans grew louder, higher pitch, her passion nearing their zenith. Allison's chair creaked as her body shifted, hips twisting as pleasure shot through her.
Oh yes! Eat me, pussy slut! Make me come!
I nipped her clit with my teeth. She gasped and jumped. Juices gushed out. I made her come, and I drank her wonderful flavor.
Yes, yes, yes!
She gasped over and over.
Thank you, Desiree! My Latina beauty!
Joy filled me. I was so happy I had given her this wonderful feeling. I wanted to make this beautiful woman feel loved. Not as a slave by our masters, but as a woman. I wanted to wipe away this negative image she had of herself. She was only an object of pleasure for me, Ray and Mirena, and no one else.
That was amazing.
Allison panted as I crawled out from beneath the table and calmly sat back down at my plate. I took a bite, pussy juices mixed with tasty pasta.
How's my seasoning?
Wonderful. I giggled, reaching out to squeeze her hand. Warmth flushed through me. Allison squeezed me back, then leaned over and gave me the sweetest, gentlest kiss. Not her usual aggressive, horny kisses where she was practically devouring your face, but something more, loving. I stroked her face and savored this sweet gift she gave me. Mark Glasner, Seattle, Washington.
What's the surprise?
Mary asked as I exited the Sky City restaurant. We had just reached the Space Needle, a large tower rising out of the Seattle Center that looked like it had a UFO landing atop it.
I can't tell you.
I smiled.
But dinner tonight is going to be interesting.
I led her into the elevator, pressing the button to go up. Mary's curious look was so cute. And she bounced on her feet as the elevator rose up. In a minute, the elevator opened onto the observation deck and I held my arm out.
My lady.
I smiled. Mary took it, nodding.
Thank you, sir.
Giggling, we stepped out of the elevator. The view from the observation deck was breathtaking. You could see for practically forever. Seattle looked amazing, sandwiched on an isthmus between the Puget Sound to the west and Lake Washington to the east. Mount Rainier was as imposing as ever as it rose from the Cascades. The mountain's glaciers looked on fire from the setting sun. Across the sound, the sun was slowly disappearing behind the Olympic Mountains. Mary slipped her arm around my waist, leaning her head on my shoulder, as we watched the sun slowly sink behind the Olympics. My heart picked up the lower and lower the sun sank, and I was all too aware of the box in my pocket pressing against the thighs. As the last rays of the sun vanished behind the purple shadow of the distant Olympics, I fell to one knee and reached into my pocket. Lana and Chantel, who had been enjoying the romantic vista with each other, gathered around. Lana had my phone and, thanks to the heads up I gave her, was filming.
Oh, Mark!
Mary gasped, a stunned yet excited look frozen on her face that was slowly blushing a deep red. I fumbled getting the ring box out of my pocket, almost dropping it, but I just managed to hold on. I opened the ring box and held it up.
Mary, I stole your heart and then you stole mine, and while we may not have known each other long,
It has been long enough for me to know that I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Will you marry me?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes,
she exclaimed, eyes full of tears. She pulled me up and threw her arms about me and kissed me thoroughly. Time seemed to stop and there was only Mary and I, connected body and soul. Our bodies were pressed together, our tongues in each other's mouth. I staggered when she broke the kiss, leaning on Mary to avoid falling down while she clung tightly to me for support. Around us, other tourists clapped and whistled. I pulled the black diamond engagement ring out of the box and my hand trembled as I slid it onto her left ring finger. Then we were kissing again. She was so wonderful and sweet. The applause and cheers died away when we both kissed Lana and Chantel and the spectators all walked away in confusion or disgust, or both. But Mary and I didn't care. We were happy to share our love with our sluts. We watched the beauty of Seattle and the Pacific Northwest as the sky darkened, and the stars began to shyly appear, twinkling down on us, like they were applauding our engagement. I held my fiancé tight to me, and enjoyed the sights for a little while longer.
Ready to eat?
I asked her.
I'm so curious what your surprise is.
Let's find out. I grinned. Mary Sullivan. I held onto Mark's arm as he led us into the Sky City restaurant. Lana and Chantel were giggling with excitement behind us as Mark strode past the maitre d'. I was eager for his surprise. This entire day had been nothing but wonderful moments. My eyes slid down to the engagement ring Mark had just given me, the black diamond glinting with fire. The restaurant was a circular room, with tables lined around the windows that showed a magnificent view of Seattle at night. At the center lay a bar and the kitchen. As the restaurant slowly rotated in a circle, you could enjoy the entire panorama of the city of Seattle aglow with lights against the black pools of the Puget Sound and Lake Washington. In the center of the room were six beautiful waitresses, all naked save for the white, waist aprons of their uniforms. I gasped, my eyes drinking in their naked breasts and hips. Each was gorgeous in her own, unique and special ways.
Choose three to wait on us, my fiancé told me.
And the other three will serve Chantel and Lana.
Thank you, master,
Lana said, eyes feasting on the banquet of naked women, arm wrapped around her wife. Chantel licked her lips.
You're welcome, Lana, Mark replied. It's your honeymoon still, so you two have fun.
As I walked around the waitresses, eyeing them critically, Mark named them. I trailed my hand through the strawberry blonde hair of feisty Fiona, pinched the plump, cinnamon rear of Hannah Smiling Fox, and hefted the heavy, ample tit of the otherwise petite Chio. I played with the butterfly dangling from a silver chain that pierced through her dark nipples, dangling against her ample tits.
How cute.
I moved on, pinching the hard nipple on Wanda's tiny, bee-sting breasts, slid my hand across the shaved, wet pussy lips of doll-faced Corina, and goosed the slim ass of Ingrid, the lanky blonde.
Who should I choose?
They were all so delicious and hot. I licked my lips. Shio was a definite with those heavy tits, and Corina had such a beautiful face. I took a moment to decide it on the third one. Fiona had lovely hair and a freckled face, but Ingrid was a blonde, and they always had the most fun. So I pushed Corina forward, wrapped one arm around Shio's waist and a second about Ingrid's, pulling both girls tight against my sides and grinned wickedly at Mark.
Oh, we're going to have fun tonight. Naughty filly.
My fiancé laughed. Corina led us to a table against the windows, covered in a white, lacy tablecloth and set with sterling silverware and pink candles burning in silver sconces. Pink and red rose petals were strewn across the table and two bottles of champagne chilled in an ice bucket. Mark had really gone all out.
Thank you.
I smiled, tears glistening in my eyes.
Anything for you, my love.
He held out my seat for me. I gave him my prettiest smile as I sat down. Mark leaned in and captured my red lips in a kiss. I moaned into the kiss and I was a little breathless when he broke it. Mark sat down on the other side of the small table as Corina poured us each a flute of champagne, her heavy breasts swaying they were almost as big as Shio's. I reached out and played with her belly piercing, a silver heart dangling from a chain. Shio produced two menus and set them before us. I looked at the menu then at Shio and her magnificent rack.
I think those should be wrapped around your cock, Mark.
I grinned, squeezing a heavy tit.
What do you think?
That I love you so much. Mark grinned.
You're always looking out for me.
I want to keep my horny stallion happy. I yanked her nipple piercing.
Slut, get to work.
Yes, ma'am. Chio blushed, disappearing beneath the table. I lifted the tablecloth and smiled as the Asian beauty unzipped Mark's pants and sucked his cock hungrily into her small mouth.
Oh, what a nasty girl.
I cooed, rubbing my foot through Chio's hairy bush. The slut was already wet.
Hurry up and give him a titty-fuck with those massive breasts, slut.
Chio's cupped her breasts and wrapped them around my fiancé's cock.
Thanks, Mare. Her tits feel amazing.
I dropped the tablecloth and grabbed my champagne flute, holding it up.
To a night of pleasure.
I toasted, our glasses tinking together. The champagne was chilled and bubbly as it slid down my throat. I shivered at my first tasty of the bubbly drink, my pussy heating up as I rubbed my big toe through Shio's juicy cunt. I gave the Nordic woman a wanton smile, hiking up my skirt.
Ingrid.
I beckoned.
Yes, miss?
I reached out, grasped the woman's long, tight braid that fell all the way to her shapely ass, and pulled her face down hard to look into my eyes. Ingrid gasped, but didn't fight.
Get down on your knees and eat my naughty pussy, whore.
Yes, miss. The blonde gasped, falling to her knees. She joined Shio underneath the table and I shuddered as her tongue licked through my pussy. This was going to be so much fun.
Chapter 6. The Buy Best Terrorist Has Struck Again. Last night, Mark Lassner and his accomplice Mary Sullivan took over the Sky City restaurant. A night of debauchery left thousands of dollars in damages and three waitresses missing. Transcript from the ABC Nightly News broadcast, June 9, 2013. Mark Lassner. Fuck, this bitch is hot for pussy, moaned Mary as Ingrid munched on her snatch beneath the table. And what would you like for dinner? The doll-faced Corina asked, her face flushed. She held her notepad before her heavy breasts and hard nipples. Mary picked up the menu. MHH, how about prawns for an appetizer? I just grunted, my cock felt too good to care what appetizers we had. Shio added her tongue to her titifuck, licking the tip of my cock's head as she slid her firm breasts along my shaft. I reached out and fondled Corina's pert ass. Then I dipped between her thighs and found her shaved vulva. She gasped as I slid a finger up inside her wet, hot depths. What do you want, for the main course, Mark? Mary asked, her voice breathy. I was thinking of, oh yes. She broke off as she convulsed in her chair, gasping loudly. Jesus Christ, that little whore found my G-spot. Mary grabbed her flute of champagne and downed the last of it in a breathless gulp. Ingrid crawled out from underneath the table, the waitress's lips smeared with pussy juices. Mary held up her glass, and Ingrid quickly filled it. As I was saying, I'll have the ahi tuna. And you, sir? Corina asked, her voice high and breathy as my finger probed up inside her cunt. The steak. I groaned. I was close to coming and really couldn't be bothered to look at the menu. And how would you like that prepared, sir? Corina bit her lip, struggling to focus on her job. Medium, fucking rare. I moaned. My cock throbbed and I shuddered. Pleasure burned through me as I spilled my white cum across Shio's olive breasts. Okay, sir. Corina grabbed the menus and headed to the kitchen. I licked my finger clean. She had a sweet, musky flavor. Mary grabbed her arm, stopping her. Let Shio take the order to the kitchen, Mary said, pulling Corina down onto her lap and sucked one of the waitress's dark nipple into her mouth. Shio crawled out from beneath the table, my cum dripping down her heavy breasts, and took the order slip. There were a few hoots and hollers from the cooks and Shio quickly returned, a big smile on her face. Maybe she enjoyed being humiliated. I downed the rest of my champagne and followed Mary's example, pulling blonde Ingrid down onto my dick. Her wet cunt slid pleasantly down my cock and she gasped as I invaded her, wiggling to adjust to the sudden penetration. I kissed the blonde waitress, tasting Mary's sweet and spicy flavor on her rosy lips. Don't just sit on my dick, whore! I scolded, slapping her ass. Wiggle those hips. Shio returned and I grabbed her arm. Lick her clean, Ingrid. I shuddered as the blonde leaned over, licking my cum off Shio's large, full breasts as she rode my dick. Ingrid moaned as she sucked and licked Shio's beautiful tits, and her hand slid down beneath Shio's apron, fingering the Asian girl's pussy. Fuck, that's hot. I groaned as her pink tongue licked up more of my cum. Ingrid worked her tight, velvety pussy up and down on my cock. I shuddered, my balls tightening. I let her pussy carry me away, leaning back and squeezing my eyes shut as my cum erupted into her wonderful depths. Oh, wow. Ingrid moaned. Come in me, sir. You're a good fuck. I panted. Service. A voice yelled from the kitchen. None of the kitchen staff came out. I had been quite clear with the cooks that they had to stay in the kitchen. I smacked Ingrid's ass and she hurried to the kitchen. Fuck! The little slut's got cum running out of her cunt! A cook yelled. Stay, sweet Ingrid, I got a fat cock to shove up there. No you don't. Your dick is as small as my pinky. Now I got a monstrous cock for you. Ingrid fled the kitchen, cheeks burning, carrying our appetizer. Ingrid set the plate of steaming prawns on the table and Corina slipped off Mary's lap, her cheeks flushed. Mary caught Ingrid and kissed her, then grabbed a prawn and bit in hungrily. I grabbed one and was about to take a bite when I had a depraved idea. I smacked Corina's ass and commanded. Bend over, bitch. Corina obeyed. Her shaved cunt, dripping with her juices, peeked between her sleek thighs. I shoved the prawn up into her pussy, sliding it in and out a few times, making sure I got a nice marinade. Then I popped the delicious treat into my mouth, enjoying the sweet flavor Corina added. Mary smiled and bent Ingrid over, covering her prawn with my cum and Ingrid's pussy juices. MMHH. Mary said, smacking her lips. They should sell this. What do you think, slut? Would you like to have customers come in your pussy and then use you for dipping sauce? Ingrid shook her head. No, miss. Mary stuck another prawn up her cunt. Sure you do, bitch. I mean, look how wet you are. Your filthy juices are trickling down your legs. Here, try it. Ingrid bit hesitantly into the prawn, smeared with cum and her own juices. Good, right?
Yes,
Ingrid said, smiling shyly.
Of course you do, you're a fucking slut.
Mary said and shoved another prawn up Ingrid's cunt to marinate. I alternated between Shio and Corina's cunt. Each added subtle difference to the flavor. Shio was a little more tart, and Corina a little more sweet. For my last prawn, I stuck it up both their cunts and savored the delicious mix of flavors.
That was delicious.
Mary smiled.
It is getting hot in here.
Her cheeks were flushed from the champagne, and her hips swayed as she stood. I licked my lips, savoring the last bit of my prawn as Mary unlaced the corset of her white dress. The cloth slid down her body. Naked, she walked to the window and peered out at Seattle. Her ass was plump and inviting. I had to have my fiancé. Mary Sullivan.
Mark pressed into me from behind as I stared out the window at Seattle. I fingered my engagement ring and pressed back into his hard cock digging into my plump ass.
This has been such a wonderful day.
Thanks. I turned my head and kissed Mark over my shoulder.
I would love to feel my fiancé's cock up my ass.
He grinned like a young boy.
Naughty filly. You read my mind.
It's not hard. I giggled. Mark kissed my neck as his cock slid between my butt cheeks, questing for my sphincter. I shuddered as his dick found my tight asshole, smearing Ingrid's pussy juices against my opening. I gasped and wiggled as Mark slowly shoved his wet cock into my bowels.
Fuck, that's tight.
Mark groaned. I shuddered as he slowly fucked me. Before us, the city of Seattle slowly rotated as the restaurant slowly turned, a jewel set between dark waters.
I love you.
I groaned, working my hips back as he made love to me, my breasts pressed against the cool window.
I love you too, Mare.
He whispered, then kissed my neck and ear. Mark's thrust grew harder, more urgent. I grabbed his hand on my waist, sliding it up to my breast. I shuddered as he my pliant flesh and hard nipple. We were moving in unison, working together to make the other come. His cock was thick in my tight ass, fanning the flames of my desire. My orgasm swelled, threatening to overwhelm me.
Fuck, I'm gonna come.
Mary hissed, wantonly.
Oh, fuck me, stallion. Fuck me till I come. Fuck me, you Randy stud.
My ass clenched on his cock, milking it as I groaned, pressing back into him. Mark buried into me, grunting loud. I loved the feel of his cock in me. It didn't matter where he fucked me ass, pussy, mouth. I didn't matter one bit.
I love your ass.
He moaned.
Oh, fuck. Gonna come, Mare.
I moaned as his hot seed shot into my bowels. He hugged me tight and I rocked in his embrace, savoring the last few moments of my orgasm. It slowly left, and I just relaxed in his arms and stared out at the beauty of the city.
Sir, miss?
Corina said, hesitantly.
Your dinner is ready.
My stomach rumbled and I laughed with Mark.
It's been a long day. I know I've worked up an appetite.
He grinned as he pulled his cock out of my ass. I loved the feel of his cum leaking out. Mark held the chair out for me at our table. Our champagne flutes had been refilled and two plates of food steamed on the table. My delicious tuna steamed, and I savored the first, rich bite, followed by a piece of asparagus.
I don't see any ketchup,
Mark said, picking up a French fry next to his juicy steak.
Corina, bend over.
Yes, sir.
The doll-faced woman moaned as Mark dipped the fry into her dripping cunt.
Delicious.
Mark smiled. I reached over and snagged a fry, sticking it into Corina's pussy.
Hey!
Mark gasped as I popped it into my mouth. The fry was cooked in duck fat, giving it a rich, wild flavor enhanced by Corina's sweet musk.
It is delicious.
I grinned at my fiancé. I reached over and snagged another.
No stealing my fries.
I pouted at him, then tried to stop him from snagging a bite of my tuna. We laughed, enjoying our Corina-flavored food while polishing off the second bottle of champagne, the liquid bubbling happily through my veins. The room was getting warm. And my fiancé was still dressed. That wasn't fair. I was naked and so were the waitresses.
Take it off!
I clapped out, looking at Mark.
Get naked with me.
Sure.
He stood up, pulling off his clothes. I hooted and whistled.
That's it. Strip. That's my horny stallion.
His cock was hard and throbbing, needing to be satisfied. My fiancé didn't wait long. He grabbed Shio, pulling the busted, Asian slut to him. I giggled, loving to watch my stallion with another woman. My pussy was burning hot. I smacked Corina's ass, pulling her with me and pushing her to the floor.
Let's scissor.
I moaned. I also love to trib hot women. Shio Lu. Mark slapped my ass.
On your knees like a bitch.
Yes, sir.
I quickly replied, kneeling down and exposing wet pussy covered by my thick, black bush. I loved to be dominated and abused. My last boyfriend loved to tie me up and spank me, pulling on my nipple piercings until I cried in pain. It made me so wet. And this Mark was the most commanding, amazing man I have ever met. He had me and my coworkers submitting to his sexual dominance. It was wonderful. I had never thought I would have such a wild time at work. He knelt behind me, spreading my ass cheeks apart. I tensed, wondering if he was going to fuck my ass. I wasn't lubed. It would hurt so much. I licked my lips, shuddering as the tip of his cock pressed against my asshole.
Yes.
I screamed as he slammed his cock hard into my unlubed ass. I bucked in pain as he fucked my bowels with powerful, deep strokes. I shuddered, the pain flaring through me, mixing with the excitement in my pussy.
You are fucking loud, bitch.
He grunted, slamming his cock over and over into me. The pain was so wonderful.
Ingrid, stick your cunt in her face.
He yelled.
Shio, that'll give you something useful to do with your mouth.
I licked my lips as Ingrid's blonde muff was pressed against my mouth. She was as eager to obey as I was. Mark's voice couldn't resist it. He was so powerful. I licked Ingrid and savored her tart pussy mixed with salty cum. My head swam with pain and pleasure as I devoured my coworker's cunt, squirming beneath his powerful thrusts.
Fuck that bitch's ass!
Mary moaned as she tribbed with Corina. Their legs were scissored together, and Corina licked and sucked the redhead's cute little toes.
Fuck her hard, Mark! She's a naughty bitch who needs to be punished!
Ingrid writhed on my tongue, her muff muffling my whimpers of pain and delight. Mark fucked me harder, pounding away, his hand squeezing my ass, driving my face into Ingrid's muff.
He buried into me and my pussy spasmed as his hot cum flooded my bowels. So amazing. I shuddered, my orgasm knifing hot through me, my sore bowels gripping his fat cock. What a slut. He praised, stroking me. Lick her twat. Make that whore come, Shio. Gladly, sir. I licked harder. Mark rested his girth in my ass, watching me lick and suck Ingrid's filthy cunt. The blonde moaned, bucking into my lips. Her hand seized a handful of my black hair, grinding her blonde pubes across my lips.
Fuck, fuck, make me come, Shio.
She moaned.
Oh, fuck your tongue so good. So fucking good.
I was so happy that I had followed Mark's command. He ripped his cock out my ass, seized my head, and pulled my hungry lips from Ingrid's pussy. He shoved his dirty cock into my mouth, fucking it down my throat. I savored the sour flavor of my ass, sucking his cock clean. He held me tight, fucking me hard. I loved being used by a strong man. Corina Stavris. This night was so wild. I couldn't believe how whorish I was acting. But Mark had to be obeyed. There was just something so powerful about him. I couldn't resist. I had to submit to him and his delightful fiancée. I sucked and licked at Mary's toes as we ground our pussies together. It was so hot. I had never been with a woman before. Her pussy was hot, wet silk rubbing against my clit and labia, stirring up the pleasure inside me. I humped harder, my orgasm swelling inside me.
Mary!
I gasped around her toes, loving the salty flavor.
You're so wonderful!
I shuddered, the pleasure spilling through me. After having my pussy played with for the last hour, I couldn't resist. I writhed against her hard, moaning my delight as my pussy contracted and juices squirted against her.
Oh, you fucking slut!
Mary groaned.
You came before me, you damned whore.
Mary ground her cunt hard against me, prolonging my delight. I shuddered and moaned as orgasms rolled through me, spurred on by Mary's relentless tribbing. Her pussy slid against mine, hot silk, driving me wild with her wet passion.
Oh, you goddamn whore!
She gasped.
Make me come, make me come!
I kept grinding back, wanting to give her just as much pleasure. Her toes curled in my lips, her body spasming. She moaned low, coming against my pussy. She gave one last shudder, then collapsed, breathing heavily. I was so happy that I was following Mark's commands. Mark Glasner. I reached for more champagne, the bottle was empty. I pulled my hard cock out of Shio's lips.
Go get more champagne, slut!
I ordered.
Yes, master.
Shio moaned, stumbling towards the bar, my cum leaking out of her sore ass. She had screamed so hard when I fucked her unlubbed ass. But the slut had come hard. She loved it. My cock throbbed so I grabbed Ingrid's braid, pulling her up and shoving my cock in her mouth. I fucked her mouth a few times, my balls tightening. This was such a wild night. Shio walked up, a big smile on her lips. Shio reached me and kissed me hotly as I fucked Ingrid's mouth.
Thank you, sir.
She hussed.
I've never come so hard before. You hurt me so wonderfully.
Shio was a pain slut, a masochist. My cock swelled and I erupted into Ingrid's hungry mouth. I felt like such a stud for making Shio come hard. Ingrid swallowed my cum like the good whore she was, her tongue swirling to capture every bit. I took the champagne bottle from Shio and popped the cork.
So you like it rough, huh, bitch?
Yes. She moaned. I took a swig of the bottle and offered it to her. She gulped down a big swallow. I shoved her roughly against the table, rattling the dishes and almost knocking over the candles. I grabbed one candle and winced as hot wax touched my skin, cooling and hardening instantly.
So you like pain, huh?
I shoved the candle up her ass.
Stay like that, bitch!
She writhed.
Fuck, that hurts.
She groaned as hot wax ran down the candle and cooled on her ass. More ran down her taint and became tangled in her pussy hair.
You like that, whore?
I demanded, slapping her ass hard.
Yes!
She hissed. Fuck, this bitch was coming again.
I'm going to make you my slave, bitch! How do you like that?
Thank you, sir. She groaned as more wax ran down to mat her bushy pubic hairs.
Use me, abuse me. I'll do anything for you. Then I'm your master and Mary's your mistress. You'll do whatever sick, twisted things we tell you to do, slut.
Yes, oh yes. She panted like a bitch in heat. I drank more of the champagne, then spilled some on her ass. I bent down and licked it off the silky, smooth skin of her firm rear.
Ooh, that looks like fun.
Mary cooed from behind, stumbling over to me. God, she looked even more beautiful. Body flushed from her orgasm, juices staining her thighs. Mary licked some champagne off Shio's rear and bit her ass cheek hard, leaving teeth marks. Mary pointed to Ingrid and patted the table next to Shio. Ingrid sat on the table and I dumped champagne down her body, the gold liquid running in frothy bubbles across her breasts, down her stomach and matting her blonde pubic hair. Mary licked champagne off her tit, sucking a pink nipple into her mouth. I joined her, sucking the bubbly liquid off Ingrid's other tit. This was the life. Chapter 7. And the gods did leave the blessed tower with two faithful sluts, Shio and Corina. They served their gods with love and obedience. But the third slut proved more treacherous. A dark heart beat in Fiona's breast and all the faithful wept when she ordered the Holy Space Needle destroyed. The Gospel of April 7:46-47. Mary Sullivan.
Mark.
I giggled when I noticed Shio's bent over the table.
There's a candle in this whore's ass.
Mark laughed.
I know, I shoved it there.
I couldn't stop laughing, the champagne buzzing through my body.
I straightened from Ingrid's breast, almost falling over, but I kept my graceful poise. Shio's ass was so inviting, the pink candle-leaking wax that ran down her taint to her bushy pussy. There was far too much hair on her cunt. You couldn't see her pussy at all.
What a nasty bitch! You have a candle up your butt!
I smacked her ass.
You're naughty, slutty ass!
Oh, spank me harder, mistress! Shio moaned.
Mistress?
I giggled, then spanked her again. It was so satisfying the way her pale olive flesh reddened. I spanked her again and again.
Are you my naughty, dirty, whorish slave?
Every word was punctuated with a hard slap. Every slut needed to be spanked by me, it was so hot.
Yes.
Shio panted, writhing on the table.
And look, there's wax all in your pubes.
I exclaimed. She should be wax bare like I was. That's how Mark liked his women. Bare and pretty. I glanced at my fiancé. He stumbled into Corina.
I haven't fucked you yet, right?
He asked the doll-faced slut.
No, sir.
Corina answered. Mark shoved her up against Ingrid, Corina's large titties rubbing against Ingrid's champagne-soaked breasts. He spread Corina's legs and shoved his cock into her cunt. Corina wriggled on my fiancé's cock and kissed the blonde Ingrid, the sluts tripping as Mark pounded Corina from behind. They were having fun and I felt left out. So I turned back to Shio and her bushy twat.
Your pussy's too hairy.
I giggled, toying with Shio's curly mat of black hair.
It's just too hairy.
Nasty, nasty hair. Mark's sluts must be. I frowned, trying to focus on what I was doing.
Right. You need to be waxed?
I gripped a blob of hardened waxed and ripped, taking a chunk of curly black pubes.
Yes, mistress.
Shio gasped, shuddering on the table.
Oh, yes. That was so hot.
Do it again.
Holy shit, Mark.
I gasped.
This bitch came when I, shit, that was amazing.
I ripped a second piece of waxen hair out. Shio writhed on the table, moaning in pain and pleasure. What a wonderful slut she was. I tore again and again, making her pussy pretty for Mark as Shio's naughty pussy squirted hot juices out.
She's almost ready,
I said, looking at Mark. He fucked Corina hard, his eyes closed. He swayed, so drunk he stumbled back and fell out of her, landing hard on his backside. I giggled, his hard cock throbbing and waving. Ingrid and Corina didn't even notice, just kept writhing on each other. His cock needed satisfaction. And I was a good fiancé that wanted my horny stallion to get all the satisfaction he could handle. I straddled Mark, sinking down on his hard cock. I groaned as my pussy savored his shaft, then I began bouncing on him. God, his cock felt good. I rode him hard, looking around at the decadence of this evening. Fiona, the strawberry blonde, was watching us fuck. She was hot, her face freckled and her tits heaving.
Get over here, I ordered. Sit on Mark's face.
Yes, ma'am.
Fiona moaned, striding over and straddling Mark, her red furred muff descending to his face, smothering him in pussy.
Oh, yes.
I leaned over, kissing her freckled face hard. Sweet pussy juices covered her lips, making the kiss even more exciting. Her hands found my tits as I rode my fiancé. She moaned into my lips as Mark went to town on her pussy. We broke our kiss and I cooed.
Whose pussy did I taste on your lips?
Chantel.
She giggled. My pussy tightened about Mark's cock.
Oh, I need to eat her out. She tastes wonderful.
Fiona smiled at me, her beautiful face framed by that strawberry blonde hair. She could almost pass for my younger sister Mindy. I seized her hair, pulling her face to my tit.
Naughty girl. Suck my tits, you fucking whore. Oh, this is amazing.
I had a cock in my cunt and a woman's mouth set my tit. My orgasm approached quickly as I rode my stallion harder. I slammed down on his cock, my pussy twitching about his shaft as I came. I milked him, writhing about. Mark groaned into Fiona's red furred muff, shooting several powerful squirts of cum inside me. I loved that feeling. I shuddered as another wave of pleasure passed through me, and cupped Fiona's face, bringing her lips to mine. I kissed her hard, Fiona's moaning into my lips as she writhed on Mark's tongue. She came hard.
Oh, wow.
She panted when I broke the kiss. Over her shoulder, I saw our two sex slaves, Chantel and Lana, daisy chaining with the small-breasted Wanda and the cinnamon-skinned Hannah. I stood up, Mark's cock falling free of my pussy, and headed over to join the fun. I pulled Lana from her wife's cunt, wanting to get a fresh taste of Chantel's pussy.
Mistress.
Lana purred, pulling me down and burying her face between my legs. I groaned as she licked Mark's cum out of my pussy. I spread Chantel's shaved lips apart, and buried my face into her sweet pussy. She tasted even better when I licked her cunt than she did on Fiona's lips. Fiona Cavanaugh. I stumbled over to the four women sucking each other's pussies. A daisy chain. I had never seen something so feminine. This entire night was a blur. I knew I shouldn't be doing this. I had a boyfriend I loved, but Mark wanted me to be a slutty waitress tonight. So I was going to be the sluttiest waitress for him. There was just something about the man that I had to obey. Corina stood beside me, her blue eyes wide, her tongue flicking her lips.
I never seen anything like this.
She whispered.
Done anything like this. I can't believe we're doing all this.
I know. I groaned, my fingers sliding between my thighs to stroke my pussy, my eyes fixed on the daisy chain. Lana, the blonde sex slave of Mark and Mary, came first. She shuddered, moaning into Mary's pussy. I wanted to join in. We could make such a huge daisy chain if we had all the women involved.
I had just come on Mark's lips, and yet I was eager for more. I was such a slut. Mark stood between Karina and me, his cock hard. I didn't understand how he could still be hard. He had come in Mary's pussy just a minute ago. He was so much more than a regular man. He was powerful. That's why I obeyed him. Suck me off, he ordered. His words moved my soul. I fell to my knees beside Karina, both our lips greedy for his cock. Karina beat me to his dick, wrapping her red lips around his tip. I had to suck him, so I moved to his balls, sucking on the sweaty sack, rolling them between my teeth. But I wanted more. Mark groaned as I sucked up his shaft, brushing Karina's lips. I kept pushing, forcing her mouth off his cock. His salty pre-cum flooded my mouth as I swirled my tongue around his cock's tip, sucking hard and groaning with delight. Karina fought back, forcing my lips off. Our tongues licked his cock together while Mark ran his hand through my strawberry blonde and Karina's black locks. You bitches are so beautiful, he moaned. You're my sex slaves now, aren't you? You'll do any fucked up things Mary or I tell you, right?
Yes, sir,
I moaned, staring up at him. I was his sex slave. That was the sluttiest thing in the world.
Thank you, sir. I am so happy,
gasped Karina.
I'll serve you so well, sir.
Mark groaned, his cock throbbing, then his hot, white seed splashed on our faces. I didn't hesitate to lean over and start licking my master's cum off Karina's doll face, our cum-stained tongues meeting for a hot kiss. Chantel Paquette Hollop. Mistress's tongue made me come hard. I loved having my mistress lick me as I tongued Hannah's pussy. Hannah had the most beautiful cunt, shaved bare, her slit an enticing pink surrounded by cinnamon red skin. The daisy chain fell apart as Hannah's juices squirted into my face. I licked them down, savoring her tangy flavor. This night was amazing. I never imagined my honeymoon would be so exciting. I'm so happy Lana and I met our masters today.
Lana, Chantel, get your lesbian asses over here,
Master bellowed. I shuddered, eager to obey, rising with grace. Years of dancing, and stripping, had taught me how to move gracefully even drunk on champagne. My blonde wife rose beside me, her pierced tits jiggling. I loved the gold rings that pierced her nipples. They were so much fun to play with.
Master,
I purred, throwing my arms around his face and kissing him. I tasted a woman's tart musk on his face. He was the only man I ever kissed. I was a lesbian. Well, mostly. Master had showed me how amazing his cock was.
Master,
my wife squealed. She was bi and always on the lookout for a hard cock. I tried not to let it hurt when she fucked a man. I knew where her heart belonged. Master put his arms around both of us.
I had a great idea,
he slurred.
Oh,
grinned Lana, letting out a whorish grin. We reached the kitchen, and Master shoved Lana in. One of the cooks was jerking off, staring at my wife's heavy tits.
Have fun, Master said.
Yes, sir,
moaned Lana in her wonderful, Slavic accent, grabbing the guy's cock and stroking it. I winced, hating to watch her with a guy.
He's got an amazing cock, honey,
my wife grinned.
Oh, fuck,
the guy gasped. He shuddered and spewed white, disgusting cum on my new wife's belly. Only Master's cum wasn't disgusting. Lana scooped up the jizz off her flat belly and licked her fingers clean. Master pushed me up against the counter and slid his dick up my cunt. I shuddered, squeezing down on his shaft as he asked me,
You don't like watching Lana with men?
I hate it,
I confessed as he slowly fucked me, stirring up pleasure through my tight pussy. Lana moved on to another cook, fishing his cock out of his pants. I shuddered as my wife eagerly knelt down and sucked the chef's dick into her mouth. She loved cocks. It was the only joy I could never give her.
Lana knows I hate it. She gets off on it. In the club, she enjoys giving men lap dances when she knows I am watching.
She really grinds on them.
Sometimes she pulls their cocks out and actually fucks them. It makes me so jealous. Lana just loves how aggressive I get. I will pull her backstage and just eat her spunk-filled fanny, making sure the slut knows who really gets her off.
My breath came in pants, my eyes fixated on my Lana as the cook came in her mouth. Master's wonderful cock stirred me up, my pleasure cresting. Lana licked her salty lips, savoring the cook's jizz. I came hard on Master's cock, my hips writhing into his hard thrusts. Lana was pulled up by another cook, bent over a stove, and the cook rammed his cock up her cunt. Lana turned her head around and smiled at me.
Dirty whore!
I hissed, another orgasm shuddering through me.
Oh, she's going to get it. Your wife's is pretty cock hungry for a lesbian,
Master growled in my ear. I didn't answer, too lost in the pleasure his thick cock gave me.
Oh, Chantel, his dick is so wonderful.
Lana cooed with wanton lust as she came on the second cook's dick.
And his warm spunk is shooting up in me.
Whore, I hissed, a third cum rolling through my body. Lana was so beautiful when she came on a man's cock. I hated how aroused it made me. A third cook stepped up and thrust his cock deep into my wife's cum-filled cunt, fucking her hard.
Look at that slut,
groaned Master.
She loves their cocks.
Master buried into my pussy, his cock erupting thick floods of hot cum into me. I shuddered, my eyes locked on Lana's pussy lips spread apart by the cock. Master pulled out of me, slapping my ass. He pushed into a supply closet, searching for something. Cum running down my thighs, I strode into the kitchen and shoved the third cook off my wife before he could come in her. I grabbed Lana's arm, pulling her out of the kitchen.
Fuck, bitch, I was about to come in that whore,
the cook shouted, his cock waggling. He stopped at the kitchen's door.
I didn't care that the man hadn't come.
Dirty whore.
I scolded Lana, slapping her ass.
You know that pussy is mine.
Oh, I've been bad again. Lana said with a naughty smile. Besides, it's master's pussy. She was right, but I still had to prove to her that my mouth was better than any of their cocks. Only master's cock should fuck my Lana. I buried my face, slurping down her cum-filled pussy. I licked and sucked, swallowing salty cum mixed with her tart and tangy juices. Lana ran her hands through my black hair, smiling down at me.
I love you. She purred. You always eat me so hard after I fucked a guy.
I love you too. I smiled, my lips stained with cum, then I buried my face back into my cheating wife's cunt. Mary Sullivan.
Mark, you got to try this.
I giggled, waving at him. He strode from the kitchen, a ball of twin in one hand and a can of whipped cream in the other, his cock hard and bouncing before him.
What, Mare?
I grinned and turned to Wanda. The small-breasted woman was sitting on a table, a bottle of champagne shoved up her cunt. The golden liquid leaked out and I bent down, opening my mouth. I yanked the bottle out, and a flood of pussy-infused champagne gushed into my mouth. Mark joined me, and we drank the heady liquid from Wanda's cunt. Then our lips met for a kiss, my head swimming in delight.
How about some dessert, Mare?
He asked when he broke the kiss. I laughed hard, clutching at my stomach.
Why would I want a dessert?
Mark could be silly sometimes.
I mean, all that sand?
No dessert, Mark pronounced slowly. My eyes widened, and I cooed.
Oh, I like dessert. But I don't like deserts. Too much sand. Promise me we'll never go to the desert. You are so drunk, Mare.
Mark shook his head, an amused smile on his lips.
Yeah, I promise. Who needs all that sand?
I leaned over, still giggling, and kissed him.
Good. Let's have dessert.
Mark shot frothy whipped cream into Wanda's champagne-soaked cunt, the creamy mess hissing out and spilling out of her.
That looked delicious.
I bent down, eagerly lapping whipped cream out of Wanda's twat. The frothy mess mixed with her tart pussy juices and the champagne.
That's great.
I purred as Mark sprayed some more, licking at her twat.
Oh, yes.
Moaned Wanda as I took a second swipe, digging deep into her cunt for more cream and champagne. The cunt frothed and I squealed as cold whipped cream sprayed on my freckled tit. Mark leaned over, licking the cream off my dusky nipple, then sucking my hard nub into his mouth. I shuddered, lifting my face from Wanda's treat. Mark sucked harder, nibbling on my nipple, rubbing a ball of twine clutched in his hand against my other tit.
What's this for?
I asked, pulling the cooking twine from his hand.
Shio,
he answered, then dived into Wanda's cunt to lick up more cream. It took a moment for my mind, buzzing on the champagne, to figure out what he meant. An excited flush surged through me and I hopped my feet and stumbled over to Shio. She was still bent over the table with a burning candle up her ass. The candle had almost burned down to a stub and had covered her pussy and ass in melted wax. I yanked the candle out of her ass, dumping it in the ice bucket. Shio moaned, a mix of pain and pleasure. She still had hair on her cunt.
That wouldn't do.
I started peeling off the wax, ripping off her pussy hair.
Oh yes, keep ripping.
Shio moaned, her pussy dripping juices as she got off on the pain.
There.
I smiled, looking at a nearly bare cunt.
Much better. I agree, mistress.
Panted Shio.
That hurts so wonderfully. I bet you would be so pretty tied up.
I grinned. She nodded, not fighting as I grabbed her hands and tied her wrists together behind her back with the cooking twine. Then I bound the twine around her legs, the thin cord biting deep into her flesh. I kept wrapping her body in twine, pinning her arms to her side and crisscrossing her large tits until they bulged obscenely around the tight bindings.
What's next?
I asked, surveying the sight.
My pussy.
Shio moaned, struggling at her restraints.
Dirty slut.
I laughed, pushing the twin through her crotch and pulling it tight against her pussy, her labia engulfing the twine as I pulled it tight.
So wonderful, mistress.
Shio purred in pleasure, writhing bound on the floor. I flipped my bound slut onto her back and sat on her face, moaning as the Chinese waitress's tongue slid through my shaved pussy. I swayed, lost to the pleasure, my fingers playing with Shio's butterfly piercings dangling from her nipples. This was such a magical night. Mark Glasner.
Your limo is here, sir.
The maitre d' announced from the restaurant's entrance. He surveyed the orgy with a look of dismay at the mess we had created. I frowned.
Limo?
Out of the drunk fog rose the arrangements I had Allison make yesterday limo to arrive at 1 a.m. and drive us to the Four Seasons Hotel. But Wanda's ass felt too good wrapped around my cock for me to stop fucking the slutty waitress.
Tell him we'll be done in a few minutes. Then go to the kitchen and have some fun.
I had already sent Hannah and Ingrid in there to entertain the cooks. They had prepared us a delicious dinner and deserved their reward.
Very well, sir.
The maitre d' replied stiffly. I looked around at the debauchery as I plowed Wanda's tight ass. Mary sat on the bound Shio and had Fiona sucking on one tit and Corina on the other while Chantel and Lana were 69ing near the kitchen. Inside the kitchen, the maitre d' had found Ingrid's ass and fucked her hard as Hannah had a cock in all three holes, ass, pussy, and mouth. I fucked Wanda's ass hard, watching my fiancé get pleasured by three sluts. Mary was panting in passion, writhing on Shio's tongue as her orgasm swept through her. My orgasm shuddered through me. This night had been amazing.
Fuck, you have a tight ass!
I groaned, shooting my spunk deep into Wanda's bowels.
Eat me, slut!
Gasped Mary.
Oh, fuck!
I pulled out of Wanda, stumbling over to Mary.
Limo's here.
What, dear? She moaned, leaning forward to suck on the tip of my cock. The room swam, and I almost stumbled back.
It's time to go.
No one bothered to dress. I was too drunk to care, and the waitresses were under my power. Wanda pulled herself up, my cum leaking out of her ass. I hefted the bound Shio over my shoulder, the Asian slut moaning in delight. She was light as a feather. Mary took my arm, her touch light.
Let's go.
I grinned, my hand holding Shio smacked her ass. She squealed for joy. Our newlywed sex slaves and the waitresses except Ingrid and Hannah, who were busy entertaining the kitchen staff, followed us naked towards the elevator. My mind swam on the ride down. I was buried into Fiona's cunt before I even realized it, hammering away at her silky flesh. The elevator door dinged open and we stumbled out. The limo driver didn't even react as our naked party towards his white limo. I guess he was just used to wild parties. He just held open the door for us, and we piled in.
Look, Mare.
I laughed.
There was a sunroof. Open it.
She giggled, sprawled across Lana and Chantel. I did, pulling Fiona up with me. I wanted to finish what we started in the elevator.
Master.
She moaned as I slammed into her tight pussy, fucking her hard as the streets of the Seattle passed by. I didn't care who saw me fucking this Irish beauty. Power and champagne buzzed through me. No one could stop me. I could do what the fuck I wanted. Fiona pumped her hips back into my thrusts, her pussy wet and clinging to my cock.
This is so wild,
screeched Mary, rising up beside me. I wrapped an arm around her waist as she pulled Wanda's face to her cunt.
Everyone can see us.
She giggled, thrusting her freckled tits forward. If I had been sober, I would have been amazed at the miracle of not passing any Seattle cops, but I was too drunk to realize that. I pumped into Fiona's ass, her pussy gripping me tight, her tits squeezed between my fingers. My balls tightened as the few people on the streets gaped at us. Fiona's gasps and Mary's cries echoed whenever we stopped at a red light, bouncing through the quiet streets of the sleeping city. My body tensed, my cum nearing.
This is so exciting, Mark!
Gasped my fiancé, her small tits jiggling as she shuddered, writhing on the slut's hungry mouth.
I'm coming and everyone can see me!
Her words shot through me. My balls erupted into Fiona's tight cunt. I flooded the sex slave's tight pussy, my seed leaking out of her as I pulled away, my cock drenched in her passion. I threw my arm around my fiancé, pulling her tight against me.
Let everyone see how much I love you.
I told her, kissing her hard as the limo pulled up in front of the Four Seasons Hotel.
Have a good evening,
the limo driver said, holding the door open as our party stumbled out naked.
You're a great driver,
I declared, grabbing Wanda and thrust her into him.
Just the best. You can have her the rest of the night for a tip.
Thanks, sir. The driver grinned as Wanda pressed her naked body tight against him. The hotel lobby was almost deserted. Only the night concierge, an attractive black woman with coffee cream skin, and a bellhop lounged behind the counter. The concierge's eyes widened as we stumbled in.
Shit!
Call the cops. She gasped.
You can't, damn, that's the terrorist!
The bellhop gasped.
There's nothing wrong with a group of naked people,
I commanded, stumbling up to the counter. Everything fuzzed for a moment.
It's perfectly fine. And I'm not a terrorist. Now I have a reservation for the presidential suite.
Okay, sir. The black woman nodded, typing at the keyboard.
And Chantel and Lana there can have the honeymoon suite for a week. Use the same card the presidential suite is charged to.
That was Brandon Fitzsimmons's credit card, more of Allison's work.
Of course, sir.
She nodded, typing fast.
There is another couple scheduled to have the room. Bump em,
I commanded.
Very well, sir.
She smiled. She had a pretty mouth. I decided to have her. On the elevator ride up, I enjoyed some black pussy, fucking the concierge hard. Her pussy was tight and wet, and she cursed and swore like a wild bitch as I fucked her from behind. Her wide ass jiggled every time my groin smacked into her as I rapidly fucked her. Mary kissed the bellhop as I reamed the concierge. He was a handsome, his uniform tied across a muscular frame. His pants fell around his ankles and he pinned my fiancé to the elevator wall, frantically fucking her pussy. Mary gripped his clenching ass, and then slid a finger up into his asshole. The guy bucked wild as she wormed her finger in and out of his ass. The bellhop groaned.
Fuck, I'm coming, you nasty slut! What a fucking whore you are!
Anger surged in me. How dare this asshole call my fiancé a slut? Without thinking, I pulled out of the black woman's cunt, drew back my fist, and punched the jackass in the side of the head. He stumbled back and glared at me.
That's my fiancé you're talking about, asshole!
I roared and punched him a second time, breaking his nose.
Your fiancé's a whore!
He shouted back, clutching his nose, struggling to keep his balance, hampered by the pants around his ankles.
You will never get hard for a woman again.
I snarled at him, his cock wilted.
The only pleasure you'll get is from your hand. Now apologize to her and get our bags.
Sorry, he muttered to Mary, blood trickling from his nose.
You're not a slut or a whore.
The elevator dinged and the doors opened on the top floor.
God, that was hot.
Mary moaned, rubbing up against me. She pushed me out into a hallway and up against the wall, kissing me passionately.
The way you broke his nose.
She panted and wrapped her legs about my hips, sliding her sloppy pussy onto my hard cock.
My horny stallion is so powerful. Take me. No one insults my naughty filly.
I hissed.
You're my slut. Yes, yes.
She gasped, working her hips,
her pussy squeezing about my cock.
I'm your slutty, naughty filly.
There was this weird, wrong thrill at feeling my fiancé's pussy greased by another man's spunk. It spurred me to pound her pussy hard. Mary clung to me, her hips writhing, fucking me back and panting with pleasure. This was my cunt, and someone had been in it. Another man had violated her pussy and sullied it with their nasty cum. I could feel how eager her cunt was for my cock. And now it was time for me to reclaim her, to mark her as mine.
Mark!
She moaned, coming hard on my cock.
My naughty filly!
I grunted and I filled her with my cum, washing her cunt clean of that other man's violation. My head swam as we stumbled into our hotel room and everything fuzzed to black. This story is continued in the next part. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts, their links are in the description of this episode. To support the free Erotica podcasts, visit our Patreon link. This will allow us to continue providing free content as well as it gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choosing. Links for everything are in the podcast description.